The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in Progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and the Mega Bowl.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
We just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
A great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're in the middle of ordering food here, so excuse us. But welcome to the show. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And, of course, we're getting ready for the season opener Sunday, 1 o'clock in Miami. We are pumped and jacked.
That's Seattle. That's tonight. That's Pete Carroll.
For us.
Pumped and jacked.
Season opener.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's a big game tonight. And just as a reminder, we'll have our picks at the
They're
end.
They're going to really be jacked up for this game.
Our annual picks.
And just an annual?
Let's get jacked up for this one, man.
Annual weekly picks.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, are we picking the entire season right now?
Yeah.
Annual picks. We're done.
I could. But anyway.
Sniff.
Yeah. What's the matter, Paul?
He forgot his notebook.
Oh, you forgot the notebook. Oh, my God.
So send Carol down.
All right.
Yeah. Carol, if you're listening, could you bring Paul's notebook down? It's on his desk.
All right. So we got a lot to cover here. This being the last show before the pregame social on Sunday. Little roster move the Patriots made. Danny Aiken back on the team.
Well, do you want to get to the more pressing news?
Which is?
Tom Brady wasn't at practice.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, it is kind of, you know, a mountain out of a molehill probably, but just it's the more top of mind.
He wasn't at the portion of practice you were at.
Correct. Yeah. And generally when that happens, the player doesn't appear for the rest of practice.
Paul, you seem to be saying something off the air. Would you like to bring that on air?
It is a little odd. I mean, because usually if...
I'm just trying to find out what Fred wants to eat.
You know, I don't know what I want.
Small cheese Coke.
What are you getting, Paul?
Small pepperoni.
You're getting a small pepperoni pizza? Give me small cheese.
Small cheese Coke.
Tom Brady's missing for practice, and we're taking lunch orders live on the air.
No, but usually when the...
It's amazing the show has any success at all, the limited success it does have.
Usually when a veteran takes a day off, it's that first day, right?
It depends.
Yeah.
But Wednesday is an important day for installation.
It isn't, yeah.
So. Well, Jimmy needs reps.
Yeah.
Jimmy needs reps.
Well,
Bill said that. Jimmy needs reps.
I mean, but let's be serious.
That's why they re-signed McLeod, Bethel, Johnson.
Thompson. Let's be serious.
No, I am being... Wait. I mean, in all seriousness, they cut the quarterback from the practice squad yesterday and just re-signed the quarterback to the practice squad today.
Right.
That's interesting in light of the information that Tom Brady's not at practice. Now, I'm not jumping to conclusions and he's gone forever. But
maybe he's not there today, and they need two
quarterbacks. And you needed a second practice.
But I think the thing that...
Interesting.
I think the conclusion I'm trying to avoid, or not, if you want to go there, is the fact that Brady is not at practice today has nothing to do with the game on Sunday.
I have no idea whether that's true or not true.
I would hope not, but you can't make that assumption.
I don't know that.
Yeah.
I mean, we all assume.
He didn't... Obviously, if something happened, he wouldn't have appeared in yesterday's participation report.
Correct.
That will be today at around, 4 o'clock they come out with that?
Yes.
They're supposed to. It was closer to 5 or 6 yesterday. but
he's such an a-hole.
It was 5:30. He's
I
right.
I know, but like
it's that true. Was
the tone of they're supposed to.
That was no.
They are supposed
by me.
To. That's what the rest of the league.
Generally,
does.
That comes out when I'm still doing radio, and that was
well. It comes
I was
out
done.
After teams have their practices.
4 o'clock.
And all that.
4 o'clock is when they have to submit it to the league. Period.
Well, I don't,
end of story.
No, I don't think
and
so.
Yes.
Fred,
what if your practice is after 4 o'clock?
It isn't. They have to get it there by 4 o'clock.
Are you sure
time.
About that?
Yes.
Or are you just being really?
I'm
know,
no. They
cranky.
Have to get it
I'm
in
not sure
by 4 o'clock.
It.
Either way, we were in the locker room at 2 after practice.
Well, what if Miami didn't have their practice till later, and they just decided we're going to?
They've done
them-
that before, where they've said we're going to wait until
right.
the Jets in, or somebody
West
does theirs.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
West
they
Coast
submit.
Teams,
you have to submit it to
they
the league.
It
you don't necessarily
league.
Have right. to submit it to the media at that time.
No, I'm talking about even the league.
Yeah, you have to do it by 4 o'clock.
That's. I thought it was by 4.
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of things are by 4. I don't know if this is one of them, because what if a team decides, you know, it was a really bad rain day and we decided to move our practice till 3:30 or whatever?
I think the only exceptions are the West Coast teams because
all right,
of the obvious time
difference. We should get a ruling on that. And
yeah, I don't
out.
Know. I don't know the answer to that.
Strippers, find out when the deadline is for teams on a daily basis to issue their
what's today?
Participation
Thursday?
Report.
It's always
to
been
the
4
league.
O'clock.
To
can
the
we
league.
Just talk about Brady not being at practice?
Yes. We don't
I
know
mean,
anything.
Instead of getting bogged
nothing
down
that bores
stuff
me more
to talk
than
about.
Injury report talk.
No, but
it's, not, it's completely useless exercise, and we talk about it constantly every week.
But it is a little odd that a day after cutting a practice squad quarterback who was only here for a day, they re-sign same practice squad quarterback to the practice squad on a day when the starting quarterback isn't here.
He got better last
right,
week.
Right, because you needed two guys to lines. Do the drills.
Yes, yeah. But
so Brady's not out there.
Yeah. So that, but if, that would
but
make
why
you
is he
think
not
he's
out
not going to be out there all day.
Yeah.
Maybe so why is he not out there?
Maybe he had a thing.
What kind of a thing is more important than Thursday practice the week before the opener?
Well, that's the thing. See, the timing. If
she's
was,
not due.
If this was like week 10,
no.
You know,
they're
be
not
a
popping
different.
Out another kid.
No.
So yeah. That, I mean, that would be a reason.
See, the timing is a little bit. Cause
but
if
it could be anything.
If you're doing a personal thing, schedule it. Some other time.
But
you
it
know?
Could be an unscheduled personal.
Right, it could be.
A family member could be ill. You know, he's
it
got
could be.
Her
emergency.
Family, his
yeah.
family,
if
know,
it was
parents.
Something that you knew he wasn't going to be available for on Thursday, I don't. And you needed that practice squad quarterback, I don't think they would have cut the practice
oh,
squad
I don't
quarterback
think this was
on
scheduled.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I don't think this was,
so
this was scheduled.
The whole, you know, personal thing.
But you can have unscheduled
personnel.
Do
running
all these shadow roster people live in a trailer behind the stadium? Because they seem to be available at a
well,
phone call.
But they also are athletes, and they want to be athletes.
No,
so
I know.
They'll drop whatever they're doing to yeah. come and
for
yeah,
all
but you could envision him. Where's he from? He went to Sacramento.
He's all
Sacramento
over the place.
State.
So he got on a plane, flew to California, and was like, son
but
of
he probably,
fly back to New England.
But it was probably even quicker than that. I mean, we got the release today. For all we know, they might have released him and then said
2 hours later,
an hour later, yeah. You know, oh, by the way, we're gonna have to re-sign you. We're gonna need you for whatever reason.
But that would schedule the Brady thing a little more. That means it happened yesterday,
right.
Not today.
Right.
Oh, I mean, I have no idea.
Then it wouldn't have been a sudden thing.
But it could be. I mean, if you know, he could have had to leave for an illness for somebody.
Could have
he
been
found
suddenly
out
yesterday.
4 o'clock.
Yeah, right.
And he
right.
asked to stay.
But
whatever.
What we can say,
what we can say is we don't know.
No, we don't know.
We have no idea.
All we can say is the window of practice that Eric got to see, Brady wasn't there.
Well,
that's
well,
all we know.
Well, we can also say he didn't get hurt in practice yesterday, because if he had, he would have been on the injury report yesterday.
No, he wouldn't have.
Yes, he would have.
There was an injury report yesterday.
Unless it was the very last snap of practice.
It was a participation report.
No, it would literally.
It's a practice report for the entire practice.
But
right.
literally,
he got hurt.
Literally a loophole, I believe.
He didn't start the practice limited.
If you got hurt on the very last snap of practice, you didn't miss a single rep due to that injury.
That's
so
right.
I think if you wanted to circumvent the system, you could say he participated fully in every snap of practice.
And limited, there's a definition. It's a percentage of snaps. So, like, if you did 90% of the snaps, I think that's full participation.
No. That would be flat out cheating.
Yeah.
If he was limited by an injury,
that's limited.
In any way. If
that's
he missed
limited.
A single
yeah.
rep, he's limited in practice.
Right.
That's the way that's supposed to work.
Okay.
But I don't think it's cheating. If he literally red zone, we're going to finish up before we do field goal,
and
somebody steps
on
his
play.
Foot on the last play, that's not cheating.
That's
or,
true.
Or
that's
true.
That's
or,
following the rules.
Or it wasn't supposed to be the last play of practice. Let's say there was a little bit left. And
now
he
it's
gets,
cheating.
And no, he gets hurt, and Bill says, all right, that's it. Practice is over. And that ended the practice.
That's
in
still
my mind,
the last,
that's cheating.
It is.
Yeah, that's
it
still
is.
The last
in my
play
mind,
of
practice.
You think that's cheating?
Yes. The entire team missed reps of practice because he got hurt.
But I could see that. You know, you're getting to the end, and guy goes down, and the coach says, All right, that's it for the day. You know,
we've now surmised that Brady was hurt on the final play of practice.
Right. That,
well, no,
you have
I
to,
don't
you
think
have to consider
it's
that a possibility, though.
I don't think it's unfair to surmise that this guy was brought back for reps in practice today.
I think that's a fair assumption.
That would be a reason why a guy yes. could get cut from the practice squad one day and then instantly re-signed.
Right.
All the rest, is, yeah. we just don't know.
It doesn't explain, though, what he started the show with, why the long snapper who couldn't snap the other day now suddenly knows how to long snap and they re-signed him.
My question with Aiken is, what if, you know, we know he went to the Broncos. What if they had signed him?
Then it would have been a bad move.
Was Charlie Hewlett our snapper then?
No, I think Rob Ninkovich was.
Yeah.
But Bill always tells us, you never cut a guy without being comfortable losing him. Because anytime you put a guy out there, you
right.
can lose him.
Right.
Which so, could have happened yesterday.
Which means bottom line is, they don't like their long snapping situation.
Right.
Because they were comfortable losing Danny Aiken. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
If I use Bill's own definition, they were comfortable losing Danny Aiken.
Yes.
Now, I've seen theories.
Now one thing I could say, you say they're not comfortable with their long snapping situation.
Clearly.
But that doesn't mean, and I find this hard to believe, but it could be that they honestly believe that right now Ninkovich is a better long snapper than Aiken.
Then he should be your long snapper.
Now, we would like to find someone as good as Ninkovich or better because we don't want Rob Ninkovich doing that, but right now Ninkovich is better than Aiken. They could be saying that.
So then you're not comfortable with your long snapping
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah, because
whatever it is, however you want to formulate it, you were not comfortable with your long snapping situation. Because if you're looking for somebody better than Ninkovich, it says you don't want him snapping
because
he's a key defender who played 98% of the snaps
but
last
not
year.
Because he can't snap.
Right.
Right.
The bottom line is they are not overly comfortable with the long snapping situation. I've seen theories that they released, say, White and Aiken because they knew they wouldn't lose them. They could get them back, and that allows them to claim Kelsey Quarles and Gates.
Whom they then release.
But it gives them a couple days of practice to work with those guys and see if they're willing to keep them or not. Get some intimate knowledge of what those guys are.
And I was
if that's the case, I don't love it.
And I
why are you cutting your long snapper and risking losing him to see if you can get a seventh defensive lineman?
One of the things I was talking with No Sox today about you know this revolving door of guys that they do this with, one reason why they might do it, you know, so many people is just to get a guy into your, you know, system. And I don't mean knowing the playbook. I just mean your personnel file so that when you do need him, it's a much quicker, you know.
I think that's what Andy was just saying.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But it's at the cost of
it creates that shadow roster.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But you risk losing your long
snapper. Oh, yeah. In the case of Aiken, absolutely.
And you risk losing a core special teamer,
he
a guy
was in
who
Denver.
Played all 16 games
I mean,
last
if,
year.
If Denver wanted to screw us, knowing how we do things, they could have just signed him.
Well, not,
you know?
Well, not just if they wanted to screw us. What if they really thought Danny Aiken was better than their long snapper?
Well, obviously, then you would sign him.
They need a long snapper.
Yeah, right.
So, but even they know Danny Aiken's not all that good. That's why the Patriots aren't comfortable with their long snapping situation.
Now, is the other guy, Ingram, is that Jake's brother?
Yes.
Yes.
Luke, I think?
Yes.
What about him?
He was one of the three guys Denver worked out earlier in the week.
Oh, okay.
It was Aiken, Ingram, and another name I didn't recognize. McConnell, maybe? Something like that.
I had another thought. Oh, my other thought was, is there any chance this was just to scare Danny Aiken straight?
I've heard that. I've heard that theory.
I don't like it.
Really? Yeah. You go to that length to do that? How about just saying
scare him into what?
Yeah.
Scare him
to knowing he, you know, putting some pressure, knowing his job's on the line, don't get too comfortable. I don't know.
That's why they brought in two long snappers this offseason, I thought.
I don't know, but maybe he didn't really feel challenged by them. Clearly, he wasn't challenged by Charlie
Hewlett.
They got rid of him immediately and then brought him back.
I mean, it's just Brinkman's. It's like
I think the most likely story is that they wanted the roster spots for these two guys. I think that's a plausible theory. I don't like it, and it, to me, it says something negative about Aiken and the long snapping situation. Mm. If you didn't care if you lost him,
yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But it says something positive about Ninkovich, though, doesn't it?
Not necessarily.
Well,
if you didn't care that you lost Aiken, because you know that Ninkovich can do
maybe
it.
Maybe I just don't think Aiken's somebody that who can do it.
That doesn't mean that you're not going to keep looking.
You might not think. You might just think Aiken is run of the mill, and Charlie Hewlett for a game might be just as likely to snap one over the punter's head.
Charlie Hewlett.
Until it rolls to the ground.
Charlie. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Have you ever seen those long snappers that get so nervous they actually roll it to the quarterback? I think a guy from Pittsburgh did it a few years ago.
You see it in college every once in a while, especially at some of the lower levels of college, the non-BCS schools.
It never gets off the ground.
You're just some of them are unbelievably bad.
All right, so it's a little bit of intrigue.
So Aiken's here, Brady's not,
right? So all's good.
So
everyone else, yeah, everyone else was there. Yeah.
No one else mattered. Well, a couple other guys matter, yes, but really, if Brady's not there, then you don't need to keep doing attendance.
Yeah, so
the story of the day is Brady's not there.
Yeah. I don't think the Patriot Nation should go on alert.
When should we?
Sunday at 1.
Well, we'll have another.
What about Friday? Oh, I have another question.
Yeah.
It's been reported that you guys are leaving on Friday.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, if you leave and don't bring somebody with you, do you still not have to make that known till Saturday?
Yeah, the night before the game, you're supposed to say if someone didn't travel, right?
So you don't have to do it Friday and give it a head start of...
No, I think it's the day before.
I'm pretty sure
that's
it's the
Saturday.
Day before.
Okay. The day before your game, whenever
right.
that is.
Because I was just wondering, now, this is another one. If, by God, Brady didn't travel for some reason, holy crap would hit the fan.
Well,
but also a Gronkowski. What if Bill decides later in the week that he's not playing and he ain't traveling?
Well, but here's the other thing, too. If there's a personal situation involved, and in this rare case, they're leaving on Friday,
down.
He could fly in on Saturday, and technically... The report doesn't come in until Saturday.
And he
wouldn't
meets
be
the
listed,
team.
And he meets the team. He yeah. traveled.
I see. If that's the case, I got a real problem with that.
I
mean,
don't.
Like Andy said, this is the week before the whole opener of the season.
I don't care.
I think my quarterback should be there. I don't think there's anything
other
than a death in the family or a birth of a baby that should take a player out of practice this week.
What if it's a near death in the family? What if somebody's gravely ill?
Something like that.
To me, if Brady has an issue and Brady can get there by 1 on Sunday, Brady's my starting quarterback. I don't care about
that. Well, not only that, but I think there's a ton of personal things that would be. I mean, he's not.
I had to wait for the plumber to show up.
Yeah, no, yeah. That's. See, you're being sarcastic because
you're being
pretending. And Bill, you know, like Richard Seymour, he spent too much time worried about the.
That
death
was
of
different.
His, you
he
know.
Didn't inform the team what his right. plans were. That was why. He
oh,
got
I love Mike Haku. Have I ever told you, Fred, he
Where's
is great
pen?
At his job?
He is. Really good. There's a pen right here. What were you saying, Paul?
Nothing.
Before I got sarcastic?
And he was being sarcastic.
And you gave up on
And
me.
You compared Bill to Andy?
No, I wasn't being sarcastic at all.
No, before I was getting sarcastic.
With your pen, I was saying.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I thought we were talking about the other thing.
No.
I thought that Google yourself was the other thing.
What are some other things that, if you were a head coach, you would excuse a player for from practice, you know? What are some things that you would, other than births and deaths and
car accident?
Okay, an emergency
yeah.
like that. Yeah,
yeah,
like yeah. But then now we're really worried.
Well, right. no. What if Giselle and the kids were in a car accident?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, jeez.
He needs to be
taking
to be with them. Well, no. He's asking for scenarios.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a scenario where a coach would have to say, yeah.
What about
we'll
a vasectomy?
Yeah, yeah.
I think
what?
It's like
you. No, those are planned.
It's like yeah, no, like
for
a root canal, something
season?
Like that. Yeah. You know,
I'm
no.
Just
No, those are things that can be done at times that are convenient, you know, more convenient
yeah.
for the team.
What about to console a friend who was just suspended for
I was
use.
Just going to say he had to go bail out Wes Welker.
Paul, do you have any thoughts on that topic?
Nope.
Eric's
does.
Got a thought.
Eric has the thought. Let's see if he has more balls
wants,
than Paul.
He wants to hold out Brady for the season.
No. don't do it, Eric.
No.
I'm mocking you, but don't do it. Paul was already doing it in the background. Fans are smart enough to connect dots on their own.
All right, so that's it. We're done with this.
We have no idea. You once told us we just don't know.
We don't know.
We have no idea.
Yeah. I mean,
he could be out there already. First of all,
we could sit here and come up with a
million
different things.
He may have had diarrhea. Remember
that
practice when I watched him go into the porta potty and I joked he had Mexican the next night because he sat in there for like a half hour? Maybe he had diarrhea before practice.
What we do know is he had a press conference yesterday,
mm-hmm.
sounded great,
mm-hmm.
and that he had, according to the report, had full participation in practice yesterday.
Facts.
Right. Yes. So that's
those
like
are facts that we know.
Yes. So that's all I'm going off.
And the other fact is, he wasn't out there when Eric was out there with the rest of the media.
Yeah,
and the other fact is, Bethel McLeod Thompson was cut from the practice squad yesterday and re-signed to the practice squad today. Those are all facts.
Tony yeah. writes and he says,
he
this
could
Brady
be out there
absence
right now.
Talk is worrying the crap out of me.
See, this is what I was afraid of. I don't want to worry the crap out of everybody.
Right.
But unless it's warranted.
But
we'll
we
let you know later.
Well, we're not trying to worry you.
But Eric is right. The only time that happens is Sunday at 1.
Yeah.
And he ain't there. That's, I mean, otherwise, why worry about it now? We have no idea.
It's what we do.
No, I know. But you know, I don't really necessarily feel like that.
So
we have to send
you
everybody.
Think the Dolphins' coaching staff is scrambling to start scouting Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy,
no.
Who's doing our game? Is it Nance? Is he going to call him Jimmy? Jimmy drops back. Jimmy looks for Gronk.
Jimmy doesn't like throwing interceptions.
Jimmy not faring well under Dolphins pressure. Yeah.
All right. Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. 855-PATS-500 is the way to call in.
We should go over the rest of the injury report.
Okay.
Rob Gronkowski, limited, knee.
Yep, yep.
The two defensive linemen, Jones and Salinga, limited, knee. And somebody else.
Left. Well, Salinga was the left. Salinga was.
Now, yeah, yeah.
Now, and the other knee. Guy wasn't. The
I don't
other
know
guy,
why I said knee.
Wasn't the other
it's
guy ankle?
Ankle? Yes.
Now, in the spirit like, of in the spirit of the participation slash injury report, if Gronkowski was still not 100% with his elbow, do they have to list that?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So
no, well, no, not if he's not 100%. It has nothing to do with medical percentile. It's practice reps. Did he not take any practice reps that he normally would have because of an issue?
Because of.
Right.
Right.
But he's limited because of the knee. We've seen that. He was gassed out there at practice. He took reps. We know.
Not resting the elbow.
No.
Or the arm. But forearm, you know, has been listed next to back. Has been listed with the knee.
Right. And hamstring even last year.
Yeah.
So they're not listing the arm.
So he's had
arm.
Myriad reasons.
That's a good sign, even though he's wearing that big brace.
Off and on. Remember, he had it off for a week.
So in the spirit of this reporting, we are to assume that he's not limited because of his arm.
Correct. I had assumed that anyway.
Yeah,
I don't know why we weren't assuming that. But.
And the back. I had assumed both of those were good enough.
Yeah. His arm hasn't been hurt since...
2 years ago.
But yet he still wears that big brace,
right.
Which we've all...
And Tom Brady still wears a knee brace. Is his knee still hurt?
I'm just saying.
I'm just being Andy.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
If we want to go on things on the injury report that were, I think, exciting, easily not on it at all.
Exciting, Paul.
Yeah. Not on it at all.
Exciting injury report.
It moved
when Paul read the needle.
In his defense, it was a rarity to see, four Patriots listed?
And a boatload.
I thought you were going to say in his defense it was a rarity to see it move.
I never look at it when...
He actually is Andy today for some reason.
I just don't know when to try to actually do something.
You are getting. We got a game tonight, Seahawks and Packers. It's great.
You've got your picks. We have to hurry, too.
Yeah, we have to hurry because there's no buys. But, you know, it's a big, big game tonight. You couldn't ask for a better matchup for week one.
Yeah, they tend to do that with the Super Bowl champs.
Thursday night.
It's kind of
now
a thing.
Even Eric is
for like a decade now. We kind of took part in it a bunch of times.
So, very exciting. All right, that's it for the show. We'll see. No.
What, you run out of gas?
Okay.
No, we can't talk about the – I mean, yesterday you were all like, are we going to see Dominique Easley? Well, I would say the answer is definitive yes.
I think we agreed on that.
But you now know? We have some facts to go on other than just, you know, I got a feeling he's going to play, which was my thought yesterday. I got a feeling. I don't know. I'm not basing it on anything. But now he's not even listed on the report at all. So if he doesn't play, it's coach's decision.
And
right?
your guy,
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
Your guy Jeff Howe had a report yesterday that he talked to a source that said Easley was, I forget the exact wording, but almost certain to play or something along those lines.
So we got that going for us.
Sorry,
to play.
Sorry for being excited about seeing the first round pick for the first time.
Yeah.
I was going to say something really bad.
Arthur.
What?
Nothing.
I know what he's
saying. I won't be so excited next time. Let's leave it at that.
No, I think it is a good nugget that he's not listed whatsoever. You know,
so nobody
like,
is.
Like you said, if he's not active,
they only have four guys. Right?
I mean, yeah. Mayo's not listed. Dobson's not listed.
Right. Dennard.
Right.
Dennard's not listed.
Mayo. Cool.
I just said that.
Dobson.
Wilford.
You're an a-hole.
And they want us to do a show all the time.
You want to be my latex.
This is the first time we've done back-to-back shows since the draft.
Yeah.
We all know how those went.
Awesome.
Downhill and
to the end. But that's how they always are.
Right. We run out of gas. It happens.
Sure.
Until that slave driver Ferreira made us do about a 7-hour show on the last day.
Is that right? Is that what happened?
No, we did like 3 hours.
It was longer than usual.
Day. No. We did more the last day than we did the first day.
All right. Anything else we need to throw on the table? The Welker thing is ongoing, obviously. Michael Sam got picked up by the Cowboys, and they say that if he makes the team,
he signed with Dallas too.
Yeah, right. And the reports were that they were going to be selling Michael Sam jerseys,
and then they weren't.
And then they said only if he makes the team. But
Yeah, that would be unprecedented. Wouldn't you have a practice squad player to have practice squad jerseys?
Yes, signed to the practice squad, and then they had a press conference about it. Is that
correct? No.
That's not true either.
People ran with that, and then the Cowboys apparently was regular media availability.
Oh, okay.
They had already scheduled a media availability. Good. A lot of misreporting going on with that situation.
I guess so.
And the Boston Globe is mad that the Patriots didn't sign Sam because he would have changed everything in New England.
Okay. Who wrote that? I heard people making
the
fun
Boston
of
Globe.
That,
yeah. I don't know. Nobody I've ever heard.
I
of.
Actually read
like
that,
a columnist.
I actually read that article. Half of it is true, but no, Michael Sam's not going to change everything by coming here. But a lot of what he said is
there
true.
Is like well, what is there was a strong swell of like changed? An anti-gay sentiment in Boston? Is this like a
no more than any other place?
I mean, wasn't it one of the?
Oh, I think less than other.
Wasn't
places,
it one of the
actually.
First states to legalize the marriage?
Yes.
I think what he's talking about.
The marriage.
Yeah. I think what he was talking about, and again, I don't think it's any more than any other place. I think when you get to like teenagers and, you know, in certain groups, I think, you know, people make fun of it, everybody, and I think that still goes on.
But
to think that Michael Sam comes in and changes that, that's.
So do we need a really big fat person to come here so teenagers don't make fun of fat kids?
Yeah.
There's all kinds of groups.
And what he's saying, which I agree, is, you know, it'll be great when the day comes where it just doesn't matter. Obviously, that's what we're all hoping for.
But it also matters less here than in other places.
Well, that's my point. Is I was under the impression that this was much more open.
It is.
In all levels.
We have that gay pride parade. You have the South End. I mean, there is a certain degree of acceptance in Boston. Everybody was talking about Buckley hasn't had a single incident since he came out as a gay.
So the columnist in the Globe was saying that Michael Sam signing with the Patriots would change Boston or New England?
Yeah.
Or the Patriots?
No. Like Boston sports, New England,
I think he was trying to...
Trolling?
Not really trolling, but I think he was being very idealistic, you know?
I just don't feel like that Boston needs change in that department. Now, if you wanted to go to the age-old, tired, you know, this is a racist city, which this has been labeled that way for a long time, then at least I can understand what you're talking about. There's a reputation that Boston has not exactly been open to race. I have never heard that about homosexuality.
And in fact,
I think it's been one of the first states to legalize marriage.
It's bluest of blue states.
It's as liberal as you can get.
So I don't really
areas
see
like Provincetown.
Even if it weren't,
I don't see change as being
Sam
necessary.
Would change anything.
No.
Now, if you tell me that the greatest player in the history of sports comes here and he is like Liberace and somehow makes being gay not only accepted but cool and flamboyant, and that becomes okay, but Michael Sam, a borderline NFL talent who may or may not get to the quarterback.
I don't think he was saying
doesn't move Paul's needle.
I don't think he was saying that Boston was any different than any other place.
But that's close-minded in and of itself.
But what he was saying is, and it's true,
is San Francisco not different than somewhere in Alabama?
I think it is different. Yes,
well, obviously,
I think it is different than a lot of other places.
There are places in every city that in every state. That is more liberal than other places or more accepting and more tolerant.
Right.
You know, if you go out to Western Mass, I'm sure it's not the same as Cambridge.
Right.
You know, and that's within a state.
Well, but some of it is.
Yeah.
You go to Williamstown, it's going to
be.
Right.
So it's enclaves. You know what I mean? But I think what he was saying is like, and I know this is true with teenagers. They use the F word a lot, not the swear F word, but the.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they just use it loosely.
Right.
You know, like, and he's saying that if Michael Sam came here because pro athletes are such role models, perhaps that would help that type of thing. But that would be anywhere, not just Boston, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it would help that much.
I don't think it would.
I don't think so
enough of an impact individual.
Right.
Just a personality.
If Tom Brady all of a sudden came out, now we're talking. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That would change everything for a lot of players.
Right.
Michael Sam? Borderline guy, practice. Right. Ooh, Michael Sam's on the practice squad. Woo!
I mean, his whole premise only works if Michael Sam is
Lawrence Taylor,
is a role model and a star.
Right.
You know,
if people want to be Michael Sam and everybody,
right.
I guess it would be.
I still think you
kids want to be him. Guys want to be with him. take a different spin. I'm liberal. I'm taking a new spin on the old saying.
He's open minded.
I am.
I know.
Nesson is reporting that a source told Mike Reese Brady will play Sunday. That's from Tom in Baltimore.
Great.
So I think Mike Reese is reporting. How did Nesson worm their way in there?
Does that mean Nesson retweeted something that
probably
Mike Reese tweeted?
Again, I don't care. Nesson gave me the info. Thank you, Nesson. You're doing my work for me. That's fine. you know.
But really, Mike Reese gave you the info.
But that's fine, you know. So they gave Mike Reese the credit. That's all I'm asking for. I don't care.
Okay.
You know? So I don't think Nesson has any sources here, but I know Mike Reese does.
So all is right in the world.
Yep. Eric, you don't really care.
And until it's Sunday at 1 and he's not there,
you
then
started
I
it.
I had to. I had no choice.
Nesson says Eric was reporting that Tom Brady was not at practice.
All right. Let's get to the phones. Oh, no socks is in there. Looking on.
Swaying like a scout.
Nervously. Yeah.
Let's get to the phones. We'll start it off with Dan in Virginia. Hey, Dan.
No, he's doing it on purpose. I had a couple of things in mind to say, but Andy just said something that I found intriguing. Are you saying that the gay district in Boston is the South End?
In Boston, it's...
The South End.
Someone didn't think that through.
There's a hole in that argument.
Oh. A lot of brownstones.
Okay, quickly moving on. I just want to say that, with the Aiken signing, I'm glad that our long nightmare at long snapper is over.
Well, not so fast. That's only today. It's only over for today.
I was going to say, except for the fact that Aiken is still a long snapper, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. What if he sends the first one over, you know, Ryan Allen's head all of a sudden?
Yeah, next week could be, you know,
different
story.
Exactly. So I was going to say, has Nico ever snapped the ball over the punter's head so that said punter is injured doing a vain impression of Gara Yepremian?
I don't believe he has.
A comment and a couple of questions. Andy was talking yesterday about Mallett, you know, Mallett's failure to do anything and, you know, getting a seventh pick for a third round pick. What was the reason behind that? I mean, my question in response to that is, when does a third round quarterback ever really do anything in this league? Unless you,
Joe Montana, ringing the bells?
Go down. I mean, how often does a backup really do anything in this league? How often do they make that step up to a starter unless they're drafted as the guy, unless they're a second round pick who they sit on for a couple of years.
Let me get your question clear. Are you asking if a backup ever beats out the starter for the job, just without an injury involved, or is that what you're asking?
I'm saying when does a third rounder ever really become much of anything?
I'll give you one from two years ago, Russell Wilson.
A first or a second rounder.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of quarterbacks that were drafted third or later.
Russell Wilson was drafted as a third round backup.
No, but that's not his point. But Russell Wilson was drafted with the hope and intention that he could be the guy
someday.
Yeah, so
just like they did with Ryan Mallett.
Yeah, see, I don't think Ryan Mallett was drafted with that intention.
Yeah, I don't
think so either.
I think he was drafted to be a.
Well, then that is the single worst draft pick that he's ever made, and that counts Jake Ingram, that counts Nate Ebner, and
not if it worked out and they got a first or a second rounder for him or a third.
It didn't.
I know, but you can't say at the time this is a bad draft.
No, I thought that they drafted a guy with the hope of developing him.
To be the starter?
Yes.
8 years from then?
Why does it have to be 8 years from then that he turned out to be better than Brady?
Because Tom was still here, and it was 4 years ago.
What if he was better than Brady?
Oh, God. I don't think
they had illusions that he was going to be that.
Paul, do you think we really think that?
I think they thought they were going to develop him, yes.
I mean,
they didn't.
If Andrew Luck,
I agree with what Andy said yesterday wholeheartedly. They did not develop him in any way, shape, or form.
No, they didn't. Now we know that, but I don't think that they thought they were going to develop him in hopes to be the starter
here. To make
him
a commodity. Either be the starter here or the starter
different.
Somewhere else. Either way.
But not here.
Like Russell Wilson.
That was never the thought that he was the heir apparent.
Okay.
Right?
Then that's a terrible, terrible draft pick. If you drafted a guy who
you
never had
at the time,
because I thought they drafted him to develop him. I was wrong.
To be the heir apparent,
to be as good as he could be, to get in a position where he's either going to replace Brady or go somewhere else to get you something.
But not here.
You didn't either.
To replace Brady.
Evidently, you didn't want him to do that.
I know.
It's like unbelievable the lengths that you go to defend the guy. It's ridiculous.
What are you talking about?
That really escalated.
Like, how can you say they didn't draft him and hope that he would be someday ready to compete with Brady?
Because I don't think they did. I don't think.
Well, that's a terrible pick, Fred.
I guess.
Well, what if they just wanted a good backup?
I never heard you say that before.
Because I didn't. I never thought that they didn't want him to compete with Brady. I thought they did.
I never. Well, I mean, you really thought at the time. Well, this is a guy that they hope will compete with Brady and maybe overtake him for the job. You really thought that?
He thinks so little of you, he's reading.
I know. He wants nothing to do with it. We all said at the time, not just us, but, you know, the analysts, that they hope to develop him to become, like you said, a commodity. Not for here, though.
Either way, he would have to be.
Well, there's a big difference.
He'd have to be knocking on the door to be fighting for a job if he was going to be a commodity somewhere
else. No, he doesn't
have
to be knocking on the door of a Hall of Famer to be a commodity.
Before this generation, one
just
of the classic.
Drop it. That's an Andy argument.
Oh, we got wow! It. Now Andy gets
taking
some shrapnel.
Now we got to be. Listen, if they did not draft him with the intent of him ever developing, then that's a terrible pick.
That's not what I said.
That is what you're saying.
No, it isn't.
No, it isn't.
He's saying developing into their starter. You can develop and not develop into their starter.
Exactly. Right. But he's good enough to start for someone else.
Yes.
Most teams don't have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Most teams don't have Tom Brady.
Terrible, exactly. Terrible pick.
Well, you can say that. That's fine.
I don't think it was a terrible pick. I'm saying if your mentality would be a bad mentality to go in with.
But I thought that was the whole.
I think that they thought that Ryan Mallett could be something better than that if they picked him in the third round.
Well, yes, that's obviously true.
But I don't think better than what Fred said.
I don't think they had any illusions that he was going to be as good as Brady.
I don't think he's a Patriots style quarterback.
Whoa! I didn't say that he's going to turn. That they drafted him with the intent that someday he would be better than Brady.
You said he'd be the starter.
Compete. But Brady now, not Brady's career.
But that's
he's not gonna supersede what Brady has done. I'm talking about Brady now.
So
37-year-old Brady. Huh? He should be competing right now with Tom Brady. It didn't work out. But that's I think what they drafted him for.
Wow.
Is so when Brady's 37, 38, I'm ready to.
I mean, obviously, it didn't work out. I heard all that talk with Garoppolo, and we're hearing it. But I didn't hear any of that talk when they drafted Mallett. It was all for.
I'm not talking about the talk.
You know,
I'm talking about
trading
what
him for value later, developing him.
So you don't think it was realistic? You don't think it was realistic that in year four Ryan Mallett should have been competing?
No, his name wasn't Andrew Luck. If it was Andrew Luck, yes.
Okay, then it's a bad pick.
Okay, I mean, that's
if
fine.
If you drafted a guy who you didn't think had the possibility 4 years down the road to be competing with your 37-year-old quarterback,
right?
That's a bad pick.
Yeah, I didn't think so at the time.
That's okay.
I didn't either.
I thought they were just going to.
I thought it was the old Ron Wolf thing.
Right.
You develop
exactly.
Quarterbacks are commodities and you develop.
You don't think Ron Wolf drafted a guy like Mark Brunell with the thought that he someday could compete with Brett Favre?
No.
Okay.
I think he was developing commodities.
And
things he could trade.
In the interim, you have a good backup quarterback.
And you have a good backup quarterback.
Right.
Okay. I disagree.
Right.
That's fine. Many times that's happened.
Anyway,
on the show.
Dan.
Thanks
what
a lot,
Dan.
God awful pick. I'm drafting a backup. Never hope that he'll be anything more than a backup.
I thought you were dropping it.
You're the one who said he's a very, very good drafter.
Well, because I gave him a lot more credit than you guys did.
No, I have no problem with it. If I draft a guy in the third round and trade him for a first or a second 2 years later,
I think that in order to trade him for a first or second, he would have to have shown that he was ready to fight, and you're going to stick with Brady. I think he's pretty good, but I'm sticking with Brady.
You would have had to
develop
him.
Trade him.
Yeah. But not compete with Brady on any level.
The only reason I think he could
I don't know how you can develop and not be ready to compete.
Because you have one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league. Not every team has one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league.
He's not one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league right now. He was one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league.
He's
37 years old.
He still is, but I don't want to get into
that argument.
He's one
of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, not in the history of the league.
Okay. We're going to really digress. All right, Dan. Are we ready to move along from you?
I got two more questions.
Fred, you don't ask the caller. You hang up and say thanks for
polite.
The call.
I want to be polite. He sat through this argument.
Yeah, I apologize for
He started the argument, I think.
I did. I apologize for hijacking the call, Dan.
Well, like in this Kazakhstan contest, that went ugly in a hurry. But I just got two questions. Hang on. One is, there are a lot of questions about depth all over this roster.
Yep.
And,
you gotta go.
A lot of people have issues with the depth. All right, call back in.
I'm sorry.
Take
Dan.
Care of your.
Even, you know what? Even call back later in the show.
Yeah, exactly. Call back.
I apologize.
I'm not sure I have issues with the depth as much as I don't know who, you know, I've said this, the starters, the top end depth. I think they have plenty of good backup safeties.
Okay, but
do they have a starting safety?
Right.
They have plenty of good backup guards. Do they have a starting guard?
So if Daron Harmon ends up, or Chung ends up being the starting safety, are you happy with the depth?
If Daron Harmon ends up being a starting caliber safety.
Okay, that's a different question, though.
See, I think, as just said it, I think they have backup guards and backup safeties and backup receivers.
They're going to be forced to start.
They have a bunch of good fourth and fifth receivers.
They don't have
not sure they have a bunch of good 1, 2, and 3 receivers.
Right. Yeah.
So they're deep, but they're not top end.
Right. Right.
Heavy or whatever.
Right.
The defensive line. Mm. I think Chris Jones and Joe Villano are good backup defensive linemen.
Yeah.
Are they starting?
No.
Because if.
Well, they might have to, but are they
starting caliber?
Right, right, but that's my point. If they're starting, then they're not good depth because they're starting. They're not supposed to be depth.
Yeah. They are supposed
to be
depth.
Well, they should be depth, but you're treating them as more than depth.
Because you have to.
Right. So I like their depth. Mm. I'm not sure I like all their starters.
It's a very semantic-heavy show today.
I don't think that's semantics at all.
Yeah,
I think that's fact.
No, I know.
But you have to really listen to what we're saying.
Exactly.
Well, we cater to actual football fans.
I
could just scream like Felger about Brady's going to leave in 3 years. He's never going to play for $7 million.
Oh, that's not Felger. That's the opposite. You got that
Well, whatever. I could take the
Felger is convinced that Brady will never ever put up a stink about anything, and he'll just play for whatever.
But
they
my point is, that's this 80? Big, super, up in the stratosphere argument about 2 years down the road, as opposed to I'm trying to look at the team right now that will compete on Sunday and ask about the depth versus the starting lineup.
Yeah, and I don't have any problem with the semantics of that or your argument. I understood totally what you're saying. I just disagree with it. I don't have any problem with semantics.
He just pulled a very from Belichick. He's no longer a very, very good drafter.
Uh-oh.
He took a quarterback to develop in the third round. That's horse poo.
Antoine's in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
I actually have 2 points that I want to hit on.
You got any babies in the background that are going to interrupt this call?
No babies.
Okay,
good. No babies. I read an article saying that Miami's offense has almost, I think they have the offense coordinator who used to, the quarterback's coach.
Yes.
Who used to coach for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
Correct.
Do you think that we're well conditioned to not only take up the heat, but to keep up with the fast pace of another team? We're so used to being fast paced ourselves, but having to combat somebody else's fast paced offense?
No.
Do you think
no.
our defense would be able to do that?
No. I don't think anybody is right now.
No, it's
I think
it's
that's why Bill always rotates early in the year.
It's opening day, and I don't think,
I mean,
I'm with you.
You got a good, maybe little snippet of it in Washington. When you had 90 degrees and that member, and they were dropping like flies at the end of practice.
Yeah, they were.
You know, Julian Edelman was falling to his face on the, was walking to the sideline. So you got a taste of it, but that doesn't prepare you. I mean, you can't replicate 60 minutes of football, and it's going to be hot and humid. They're talking thunderstorm possibilities and all that
down
there.
And I was listening to the Bob Soucy show yesterday.
The whole day is going to be a chance of thunderstorms.
Yeah.
I was listening to the Bob Soucy show, and he had Jimmy Cephalo, who covers the Dolphins. He's their, I don't know if he's the play-by-play or the analyst guy.
Analyst. Former wide receiver.
And he said that, they really instituted a very fast-paced offense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, fortunately, they stink on offense. So,
so they'll be really quick to punt.
Three and outs will go by in about 40 seconds. So.
Well, but the other good thing, too, is like, timing-wise, this is happening right at the end of the summer when you're only a short time removed from those Redskins practices, practicing against the Eagles, being in training camp. So you're in that mode already. It's not like you've been, it's not like it's November.
But
you're
not really in game shape. No one.
No, you're not.
No one in this team has played a full game.
But that's what Bill said. It's better to play them early down there than late because it's a closer approximation to what you're
to the heat.
Mm-hmm. Teddy Bruschi didn't really buy that argument.
Yeah, I don't buy it either because Miami's record in September and October is light years better than it is in November and
December.
You
did get a benefit this week that it's hot and humid here.
Yeah, and you got that week of practice.
Right,
that
is but true. You're still not ready.
No.
You're not ready. And guess what? Dolphins aren't ready either.
Yeah.
No, they're not
ready. They haven't played 60 minutes of real football.
And they're not ready to run the offense probably the way that Bill Lazor wants to run
it. Right, that's what I mean.
And I also think that they're just not very – I mean, they have an entirely new offensive line. All five guys are going to be all different. And I don't see them –
Brandon Albert, by the way. For anybody who was listening to EEI yesterday when they talked about the offensive line and the analysts on the show said, and I don't really think they've done many things to upgrade that offensive line from last year. In fact, they've gone the other way. They got rid of Incognito, and I'm thinking, they have a Pro Bowl left tackle.
I don't know if it's going to be any good, but they went out and got the best left tackle on the market in free agency and drafted a right tackle in the first round.
But that's a rookie.
No, but how can you not say that's an upgrade
they
over
added,
the Jags that they had last year?
But they added the Darrell Revis of available left tackles.
They will bring in Bryant
McKinnon
out of retirement last year.
That rookie might suck, But they added a guy who has proven himself totally elite in the National Football League.
Do you remember?
So yes, they've made changes to try to upgrade.
Do you remember the game against us here when Bryant McKinney was signed on like Friday and started on Sunday?
I would rephrase it a little differently. I think he signed on Tuesday and bitch slapped Chandler Jones on Sunday. It is. He came off the street and owned him. And I didn't care for it. No, I thought that was one of those days where Chandler Jones, the rising elite star,
this might have been the greatest hour in show history.
Should have taken advantage of a guy who was just off the street.
What else, Antoine?
All right.
So that's it?
Guy, I'm starting to fall in love with him already. I know it's premature, and I know it's way too early to even say something like that.
Who?
But I really think
Tim Wright. Stop talking while he's talking. Let the caller talk.
I didn't hear it.
I saw some of his highlights, and I think he really could emulate what Aaron Hernandez was. And you have Rob Gronkowski.
You might have a better shot off of it.
Yeah, I think Hernandez was very good at that first move after
Hernandez
the catch.
Was a good shot.
I haven't seen anything, and I saw those highlights, those compilations. I didn't see Wright getting a lot of yards after the catch, but that just could be the circumstance. Maybe he has that talent.
We already saw it here. I liked the way he took that ball to the right side and went down the sideline.
There was no one there, and he went right down the sideline. Right.
Christian Fouray would have fallen down.
Well, all right. I think he's got some athleticism.
Oh!
Yeah.
That's obviously going to free up Tim Wright. Just like how, you know, how offense or defenses was so scared and so worried about Gronkowski, it left a lot of holes open for Aaron Hernandez to do his dirt or whatever.
Yeah.
Not in that frame of life, but.
Yeah, not his real dirty work.
I know what you mean.
We wish that was the only dirty work he did. All right, Antoine, thanks for the call.
He's a competitive option. That's all I'm willing to say. He's better than Justin Jones. He's better than Matthew Mulligan. He's better than anybody else.
If he's active, let's also not forget.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying.
Is he better than Hooligan?
Yes.
He's more athletic, but he's got better hands. No question about that.
I was talking about it as a pass catching option.
Okay. Yeah,
he's ahead of all these guys that have been here for some
simply
period.
Simply as a pass catching option, he's light years better than Hooman. But
what may that mean?
Yeah, well, I meant in terms of the whole thing.
He doesn't
end.
Block, so it doesn't matter.
Right. Well, he's a speed bump as a blocker.
I'm not sure he's a speed bump. I told you, I watched him specifically on that one play where his job was to come out of the slot and block down on the linebacker. He ran down, ran around the linebacker, and then jogged back to the huddle. Never laid a finger on him.
Let's go to Brandon in Seattle. Hey, Brandon.
Browner?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
So, yes, I had a couple questions. Who besides, the big guys like Gronkowski, Brady, and Edelman, who you think is going to be the breakout player on offense and defense that no one's really thinking of?
Offense breakout player, defense breakout player.
Aside from the big three, four.
Who they've already broken out, so, right?
So I'm going to go with my annual Shane Vereen prediction.
Well, does he count? I mean, I don't know.
He hasn't broken out yet.
My breakout player for offense is going to be Dobson.
Okay, see, that's a good
That would work. I'll go Shane Vereen then, if we're not counting as Shane Vereen had been expected.
I thought Shane Vereen broke out against Buffalo last year.
You can't break out in one game. Breakout for a year is like, show me you can do this. Otherwise, Brandon Bolden has broken out because he had that one good game against Buffalo a couple years ago.
I thought he was very productive in every game that he played.
If Vereen wasn't
the games that he didn't
play.
Now
we're going to argue about what a breakout player is. See what I mean? It's a very semantic trip.
I'd like to see him catch the ball on wheel routes.
That's true. He missed a lot of those,
he might have averaged
didn't he have like 14 catches
Vereen
or something against
every
Cleveland?
Game, yeah. Then he's a breakout player. He hasn't
done
that
every game, but he can do it over
he's reliable.
Double digit games, 10 games where you show me you're good.
You can count on him to do that,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you thought he was Marshall Faulk. He has not been Marshall Faulk yet.
I'm surprised you didn't say Jimmy Devlin is your breakout player.
Oh,
defensively, you'd have to go with.
He got screwed by Wright. I think he was going to be the breakout.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Collins is a good one.
Collins is a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Unless you want to say that Chandler Jones hasn't broken out yet.
Well, if he has 20-something sacks, then he didn't break out yet.
20-something, yeah.
Well, I think Robert Quinn's going to have.
Well, if Chandler Jones has already broken out, then we're disappointed, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a very semantic.
Because then the best stretch of play I will have said I've ever seen was in a third preseason game.
Exactly. So he hasn't broken out yet, we hope.
So by breaking out, Brandon, do you mean that he'll be better than he's ever been?
Well, he hasn't been to a Pro Bowl, right?
So, like what, what Edelman was last year. Like, no one expected him to do that, and then he broke out.
Doesn't qualify.
Right. I wasn't really thinking of him. I think most people think he's going to continue to get better. He got better from year one to year two, and he'll continue that.
Okay.
See, Chandler Jones, when he was coming out of Syracuse, I didn't expect him to be this good this soon at rushing the passer. So, to me, he's not really a disappointment. He's better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
He might not be as great as you want a first-round pick to be, but I think he's better than I expected him to be.
His progression's faster?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the thing in Syracuse, they said, is that all they had to do was focus on him, and so that's why he had, like, five sacks or something like
that. Yeah, but that's what they say about everybody.
Yeah.
That's why that's why Michael Sam actually had a lot of sacks, because everybody was focused on the other side.
Coney Ealy.
All right, Brandon, thanks for the call. Good subject. Let's try
in getting another argument.
Justin,
came close.
Did you put the baby to sleep?
It's like a ticking time bomb today.
But I got two quick questions.
That was Dan.
Justin didn't have a
one.
Baby. Oh.
Oh, that was Dan?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, okay. Different caller altogether.
Different completely. Oh. Same state.
But from Virginia.
Same
right?
state, yeah.
This is the guy that says like a lot.
Oh, okay. Hey, Justin.
My first question is, I respect you guys as analysts a lot. What do you guys think of Steve Smith?
Steve Smith, the receiver?
Which one?
The one who went to the Ravens?
If you had told me...
The first take guy.
Oh, Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith.
Oh,
I don't care for his shtick.
I don't either.
Think about him at all.
And the thing that I don't like, I love listening to him talk about the NBA. I think he's really, really good at what he does. But I do think there's too much shtick there. And a lot of people that have been in his presence have told me what a wonderful guy he is off the air. And that makes me dislike the on-air even worse.
The douchebag who's on air.
He's putting
it's just,
on air.
It's just an act. So.
There's also a lot of people that believe he is utterly biased about guys he knows.
Oh,
and
the
likes
guys he likes. Absolutely.
Doesn't know, doesn't like.
Well, do you ever hear the Saturday Night Live skit on him?
No.
That's
pretty cool. You know you made it when you got a Saturday Night Live
skit. It's really, really hilarious.
I'd like to have a Saturday Night Live skit.
You know, he talks about the guys and, like, gets really dramatic, and he's like, you know, Chris Bosh, I love him. He's the father of my child. You know, it's like it goes on and on. It goes, but in the fourth quarter of a Miami Heat game, Chris Bosh shouldn't be anywhere near the basketball. And he just starts screaming. It's really funny.
Yeah, I don't like him.
Why do you ask, right, Justin?
Yeah, plus he thinks it's the women's fault when they get beat.
What?
What did that have to do with
anything? I'll be out. How many fumbles would Steven really have to have before we, like, drop him?
Are you not going to answer my question?
Oh, what?
Why do you ask about Stephen A. Smith?
I was just curious because I kind of respected his analysis. I'm sorry.
Analytical
opinion.
And
I respect you guys a lot, so I wanted to know your scoop on him or your take on him.
Okay.
I think he can be good at the NBA.
Did he say something about the Patriots we should know
PFW?
So that we can get Patriots Nation to attack him?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, so what was your second question then?
How many fumbles before we get rid of Ridley?
Fumble for us to cut him before the season ends.
To cut him.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not sure he would get cut.
Yeah,
he could get benched. He could be inactive.
He did it four times in the first game.
Oh, then
he's not going to get four chances.
He won't get that many
right. chances.
That's the problem. He doesn't ever get that stretch to.
Unless three of them happen on one play.
Fumbles recovers. Fumbles recovers. Fumbles recovers. That might do it.
Well, you know how you get those two, like, you know, maybe a little pitch out. He drops it, picks it up.
Right.
You know, then he gets hit
fumbles.
And he fumbles. Then he scoops up his own fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Justin self-terminated himself.
Well, I got to tell you, I know Justin gets mad that people insinuated that he took drugs.
Semantic
show. But he doesn't help his own image a lot. an analysis.
You got to respect his anal analysis.
Justin, we love you.
Eddie,
talk to you tomorrow. I'll talk to you on the pregame social.
Eddie in Maryland.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, just calling. What about this weekend, guys, would make you – what scares you about this weekend?
If Tom Brady doesn't show up at 1 o'clock.
The pass rush ending a game. Anytime Tom Brady has issues, it's the pass rush. They have a pretty good pass rush. We don't know who's starting at offensive line. We don't know what the offensive line coach is. You know, everybody, McDaniels was talking about in-game adjustments and how that's, well, we have a new guy making in-game adjustments on the offensive line.
And it's
so that's an unknown.
Well, yeah, and we said the Dolphins have all five guys that are different on the O-line. We could have four on the Patriots who are different than last year. Four players who are starting in different spots than last year.
For all I know, we could have five.
I would be surprised if the left tackle is different.
If there's a scenario that, would unfold and Miami were to, win the game, I would think that it starts with pressure.
Up front.
It starts with pressure on Brady, and they're not able to get the passing game going, and they become a little one-dimensional like we saw at times last year when they weren't able to throw the ball as efficiently as they normally do. That would be the scenario. That, I mean, there's always turnovers, but I don't ever go into
defense,
a game expecting
the Patriots
turnovers.
Patriots defense being able to handle Miami?
That
not
offense?
Really.
Absolutely
not. Really.
Not. Right. They should smother this offense.
That'd be a really bad sign if they can't handle that.
I'm actually excited about the defense, seeing what they...
That's my one fear, though, guys. How about that? That's my one fear is the fear that I have for this game and the rest of the season. If Miami throws for, 250, 300 yards, and it seems like we
that's
can't
problems.
Contain, then I'm not going to be... positive about the season. I mean, if they can do that against our defense, it just shows that the defense is the same.
Well,
that's my fear.
But you can't make a grand 16-game assessment just on one game. It wouldn't be good, but we're talking about they haven't had a starting safety all summer, so they haven't had one guy just playing there. They're not going to have consistency at cornerback probably for a while. You know, Darrell Reeves, these guys have to work together. They didn't have Jerod Mayo on the field most of the summer, even in practice and different things. So, I'm not going to say, no, the same old Patriots defense, they stink again.
Right.
I'm not going to be willing
they
to say
will
that.
They will on the blog.
And there's also, how did it come? I mean, is Ryan Tannehill just meticulously picking you apart? Or did Mike Wallace go for 80 yards on one play and Charles Clay go for 60 and
plus,
that's half of their passing
plus
yards?
When did it happen?
Right.
You know, did
right.
the Patriots, you know, to me, Patriots football is establishing the lead early in the game and dictating the way the game is played, and Miami's in catch-up mode. And now they're throwing it around down two or three scores, and you get some cheap yardage late in the game. If that's the way it happens, I'm not going to be overly concerned with the number.
No matter what, Fred will be a Patriots apologist on Tuesday if something.
Well, no matter what, the defense will have looked great.
Yeah, I'll be apologizing for a 13-3 team.
Justin understood every word you said,
as I do every year. Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey guys, what's going on?
What's up?
Nothing much. Curious if you guys had seen any of the Atlanta Falcons Hard Knocks at all and what you thought.
I saw one episode probably two or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Evidently, Brian Cox is very funny.
He made the show.
Yeah. Well, he's a funny man.
Yeah, he made the show.
Any man who says in a live press conference, I'm not the type of man to suck another man.
All right.
He said it, not me.
But you don't have
to
re-say
it. You have to re-say it.
It's a great – tell me that's not one of the great stories of all time.
It
in
is.
A matter live press conference.
Matter of fact, when we were talking about Hard Knocks over the weekend, I told that story to everybody.
Pat another man's back in brackets.
Is that what it was in the transcript?
That's what I was transcribing. That's what I put in there. And then I think Stacey said, just take the whole thing out.
Can you do that?
Curious as to your thoughts on the safety position opposite McCourty. I'm terrified. Paul, I heard you yesterday that you think Chung is potentially going to get the start.
Yeah, I mean, Chung or Harmon, I would think. And, you know, I've seen more of Chung since the summer started than I have of Harmon in that spot. So
you'll have to see tonight because in the interview on Patriots Football Weekly TV, first question may or may not be, Patrick Chung, who's starting at safety?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You had the interview yesterday. Yeah.
It's good. And then he ends with some a surprise for
I think
you.
The safety position still needs to be settled, but I think every team has something they're trying to hide on their defense. And in terms of past Patriots defenses of recent years, I think, you know, the weakness at that safety isn't as bad as it's, you know, overall things that they've been trying to hide in the past.
You ever notice when we criticize anything with the Patriots, you turn into a little kid, hey, yeah, they have problems too. They did it too.
It's true, but I want to...
How about you worry about yourself?
I want to put our concern over this one spot and, make it relative.
Well, could it be a fatal flaw?
But why does it have to be relative?
It could not be a fatal flaw.
It could not be a fatal flaw.
See, Andy thinks it could be a fatal flaw.
It will not be a fatal flaw.
That's not
what I said.
Can it be a fatal flaw?
He does it every time.
Anything could be. You never rule anything out. But it will not be.
I don't think, you know,
quarterback
could be the fatal flaw.
You know, I know we don't want to put too much stock into the preseason, but, you know, you go back to that Philly game and him getting torched by tight ends.
And that's with this particular game with a guy like Charles Clay, maybe we will see Harmon instead of Chung because they might look at it as more of that's the kind of guy that over the middle can give him some problems. I would just rather have like a slot guy cover him.
Yeah. Like Arrington or...
Yeah, or Ryan
or maybe even a
like
Logan
that.
Ryan.
Because I don't think he's so big that he's going to be a physical mismatch for that. You know, last year, Tlaib took him out of the game, except for the biggest play of the game, unfortunately, the fourth down, the fourth and six that extended their game-winning drive.
How does he remember that? I have no idea.
It was a big play.
I know, but I don't care. I just don't remember.
Well, see, that's the difference.
I remember Vinatieri's kicking the snow. Fred. That's about what I remember.
The difference is, Fred, Eric, Andy, and I, we care about what we do.
Oh.
We don't care. Oh. He just said, play the tape back. He just said, I don't care.
The difference
he
is,
just said it.
Here's it. The difference is I had money on it.
Oh. No, I'll give you the difference off air.
Christian wants to go,
Christian's
so can you
done.
Drop it?
Yeah. All right, Christian. Thanks. All right. Food's not here yet?
Maybe that's where
this would have been a good time.
Maybe he went to get it.
Yeah, he's not in the studio.
There you go. Seattle 9-2, Denver 5-1, New England and New Orleans at 7-1. I'm saying right now, New Orleans is overrated.
Oh,
why are they 7-1?
Because of the defense. They think the defense is going to be really good.
Their coach is back,
and they just gave a guy, Junior Gallet, $40 million extension, something like that.
That's interesting. I don't know a whole hell of a
lot. He's a good, he's a good player. I don't know how good.
I assume.
I don't know
$40 million.
You know, I mean, I'd have to look at different contracts and stuff. You know how those things, it's all relative based on what everybody else is making, but he's a pretty good player.
I'm just going off the surface. If you told me that Junior Gallet's worth $40 million, I'd say, really?
Chad from Atlanta.
Maybe McCourty's worth $40 million. I don't know.
I think Paul has been hanging around Welker lately. Might need to take a drug test. Just kidding, Paul. Question, have we
his
seen...
His veins were popping. His neck was red and his veins were popping.
From the Molly.
That's I got the insinuation.
Yeah.
You don't need to spell
that,
it out.
That was Andy-like.
He is me today. He is 100% me today.
Have we seen or heard any more about Alfonso Dennard playing in a safety spot? It just seems like you would want your best defense DB players on the field at all times. So finding a way to have Revis, Brown, or Dennard and Ryan/Arrington on the field together could benefit the secondary more. Plus, I know they've been experimenting with moving corners to safeties in the past. McCourty and Logan Ryan last year. I've always really liked Fonzie, and I think he has an eye for the ball.
He started against the Giants.
That was inside coverage, though.
No, he was at safety.
And I skated past that, apparently, Paul.
No one said anything about it, huh?
Definitely could have gotten in trouble for that.
Yeah. I like Fonzie, too. I'm a big fan.
And I know Bill's going to tell me what's just in that
guy. I think he's a competitive guy, and I like his physical nature on the outside. Now, listen, the last game that we saw him play, you couldn't play. I apologize, Fred, if this is bringing up details from last season, but he was terrible in Denver in that game.
Who wasn't?
No, that's true, but I think that he is one of the better players on defense. And
you think
awful.
Chandler Jones couldn't be any better, and he couldn't.
I didn't say that he couldn't be any better.
I got to pick up my game because Fred's stealing my shtick over there, so I got to pick up my game a bit.
Liam writes,
I like Fonzie, but I don't think he's a safety.
No.
Liam writes, and I like this defense, but I think we are/will get too much hype. We start our first four games against bad and okay offenses. I think the media is really going to blow up with stories about how we are the 85 Bears and that we will only get better with Browner. Then we will come crashing down against the good offenses we play later, like Green Bay, Denver, Bengals, and Chargers.
Fred, that's you. He's talking to you there.
What?
You're going to get all excited about shutting down Ryan Tannehill and E.J. Manuel.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalata, says, I had an interesting discussion with a Swedish reporter on the O-line.
Sweet.
That is
interesting. I don't even know the discussion, and that's interesting. A Swedish reporter about the O-line. Patriots O-line.
He had Connolly at right guard, which to me is nuts. I got Solder, Connolly, Wendell, with Stork taking over the center position as the season goes on, Cannon, and Vollmer. Tell me we're going to be fine, Fred. So
that's the five that I think are going to open the season. I think it might be Cannon at left guard and Connolly at right guard, but I don't know how much
Vollmer at guard.
How much would
he's
that,
not moving to guard?
How much would that?
What if the first play Solder's a center?
How much would that matter to you, Andy? If
what
the guards left right?
I have no idea. All we know is Connolly has played both, and I believe when we've
mostly
seen
right.
Cannon, yes, but when we've seen Cannon, he's took reps at right guard.
Yes.
So maybe they will put Connolly at left guard.
But Connolly has started both. Mm. I mean, lately he's been
Connolly
right, but that first year he played like half the year for Neal and then half the year
Connolly's
for Mankins
just good,
and vice
man.
Versa.
He's just good. He
he's
could
a captain.
Do anything. Yeah, the year that Mankins held out, he played left guard and then he moved over to right guard when Neal got hurt.
Nick's in Victoria, Canada. There's been a
lucky
lot of,
them.
There's been a lot of talk about Chandler Jones, but what about the Patriots' other first-round pick in 2012, Hightower? I love the progression I've seen from Jones, but I keep waiting to see the same growth from Hightower. You're going to see it this year. Do you guys see him improving this year, or will he continue along the same mediocre road?
I said earlier I wasn't disappointed in Chandler Jones as the first-round pick. I am disappointed based on what I was sold about Hightower as a first-round pick. I don't think he's lived up to any of the hype.
Okay. All right.
We also, the reason why you haven't heard a lot of talk about him is we haven't really seen him on the field for a while now. It's been the last two. Did he play at all? I mean, where did he play?
Yeah, he played that one game when Mayo also played. And they look good. He might have been. Did Mayo, that's not true.
I don't think Mayo's played at all.
Oh, maybe
preseason.
It was his camp that he looked really good. Yeah.
Did Mayo play at all in the preseason? I don't think so.
No.
Right.
Hightower played in what, game two?
Because
I don't think he played in game three. When the starters played, right. I'm pretty sure Hightower didn't.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Right. And game two. Certainly didn't play in the last game.
But if they're playing a 3-4 and your outside linebackers are Ninkovitz and Jones, I think the odd man out is Hightower. He's going to have to come in as a sub, if that. So, because they're going to have Mayo and Collins in the middle.
That's assuming Collins can play inside.
Right. Well, he has been.
No, I know, but I'm not just going to assume he can play in there. I know Hightower could play in there if they need him.
Right, so it might be Collins in a 3-4 sits a little bit more on the opening downs.
I don't know if I'd want that either.
No, I disagree with that. I think to start the year, Mayo and Collins are your starters if they're in a 3-4. If he doesn't hold up well in there, then I think you could see Hightower take over a bigger role. And it also could be related to, you know, we've talked about Chung is a run-stuffing safety, maybe Minnesota. Well, maybe Hightower in week two plays more against Minnesota to stop Adrian Peterson than he does in week one, where you need Collins on Charles Clay.
Right.
Well, and the other thing on the outside, what we saw in training camp, when they first started doing three-man fronts, the guy who wasn't out there on quote-unquote early downs was Chandler Jones. Hightower was out there
in
that spot.
Yeah,
I know you look befuddled, but we were befuddled too, but that's exactly
what it was. I'm just trying to think, though, in training camp, but the problem is in the games, because Mayo didn't play, that screwed everything up, right?
Yeah, well, it's different personnel.
Right,
yeah.
Right. All right. So we just don't, I mean,
we just don't know.
But this is part of what Andy and I have been talking about is I can't recall going into, or as Matt Smith would say when he's doing Senator Kennedy, I can't recall going into a season with this many starting jobs. I have an idea of who the people are that are going to be playing prominent roles.
Right.
I don't know where people are going to be, and I don't know exactly which ones of those are going to be starting.
And that might
at
make
so many different
and who
positions.
Who we're playing might determine that. It might be
and
different
I don't,
from
I don't
week
like
to week.
That.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. All right, food's here finally. We're going to take a quick break and eat some of it. A lot more emails coming in. We'll get to them right after this.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. Ace Ticket is the official ticket partner of the Boston Red Sox, which means you'll always get the best seats at the lowest prices, guaranteed. And now with Ace Ticket, you can have your Red Sox tickets delivered right to your phone. You don't even need to print them out. It's so easy. Ace Ticket has your seats to all the summer's concerts. And right now, Ace has special savings on Tom Petty and One Direction. It's so easy to get the ticket you want and the service you deserve. Visit Ace Ticket or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com and multiple fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to life. Now available for $3.99. At a Microsoft store near you.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Have you ever had a lobster piss?
I have not.
You don't know from soup, then, if you haven't had one.
You don't know from soup.
You don't know from
is it a soup?
Every once in a while, it turns into that 1955 character.
Lobster bisque.
Then why isn't it called lobster soup?
You have a good lobster biscuit just...
Because it's a stew, a soup, or is
no
it a stew?
No soup for you.
It's like sex for your
is
throat.
Is it chowder or soup? Eric already has sex for his throat.
Fred, why do you do this?
I had nothing to do with you.
Yes, you did.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right. I guess we're back. Still eating. I like in that segment, Eric goes, I said, I had nothing to do with you. And Eric goes, yes, you did. Neither one of us made any sense.
I know. We were just yelling at each other at that point.
All right.
Was that a short break? Usually I have time to
finish. It seemed that way, but we were just hungry.
You're not throwing those out, are you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just haven't had a chance to finish.
Well, because you have been known to throw away perfectly good food when you're...
It's my food. I paid for it. Right?
Yeah, but you shouldn't throw it out if it's perfectly good. I just want to make sure you weren't throwing it out.
It's not going to keep till the next day.
What?
It's not going to keep.
What are you talking about?
Cold pizza? Not good next day?
Pizza lasts for like 3 days.
I don't like this type of pizza. It turns into cardboard the next day. So.
Good Lord.
Paul agrees with me.
Yes, Fred.
Webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
How would Paul know? He's never had a piece of pizza left over.
Cole says from Waterloo. How did
Alphonse... let me just cut you off for a second. I apologize, you know, 1,000 times to you, Fred.
Right.
This from the guy who, just to make his conscience feel better, says, "I'm going to order curly fries. You want to have some of those?" Where are they now, Fred? Where are those curly fries?
In his stomach.
Yeah. Okay. Just to make himself feel better about himself, he orders a chicken prime sub and curly fries under the guise of, oh, I'll split the curly fries with Paul. Now, I didn't really want the curly fries. I don't really like the curly fries from Omega. But I said, yeah, I'll have a few.
There are 2.5
crumbs.
Crumbs, yeah. One whole one, two whole ones.
Oh, there's one on his shirt that you can have.
Anyway, you may proceed.
All right. Cole from Waterloo says, how did Alphonso Denner not get suspended for his recent incarceration?
I don't know, Fred. That's a question that you have.
It's a good question. I mean, I guess because of the mitigating circumstances.
Which time?
That's ridiculous. Yeah. I know, you know, we probably shouldn't be discussing this, but I don't know how you have a personal conduct policy and a man spends time in jail and that's not suspendable.
Well, the first offense was while he was in college, right?
The offense took place
while he was in college,
but it was a week before the draft.
No, I understand.
You know, the second one was a result, partially, of the other one. He was on probation at the time, and he got pulled over. And
he didn't spend time in jail the first time.
Right.
It was the second time.
It was the second time.
He was a cut-and-dry NFL player.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
It lacks consistency to me. No one seems to care. I haven't heard one word of it. Now, maybe he's not a caliber of player that warrants more interest nationally
or
whatever.
Possible.
But that shouldn't matter to the front office.
It shouldn't at all. And I just don't understand. It's good for the Patriots, because otherwise you would have had two starting cornerbacks suspended for the season opener.
Ramon in Dallas writes in, who do you guys believe is more important to the success of the Patriots this season to make it to the playoffs? Brady, Belichick, Gronkowski, or Revis?
Brady.
I think Brady.
Brady, Gronkowski, Belichick, Revis in that order.
Yeah, take any one out, and I think even Belichick, his system is in place, you know, whether it's McDaniels or somebody, they could kind of keep it going until he returned. But Brady, there's no replacement.
Brady's not ready.
Yeah.
Just to make the playoffs, I would flip-flop Gronk and Belichick. I would go Brady, Belichick, Gronk, and Revis.
Because of the game planning?
If you lost Belichick, I don't think that you would make the playoffs without Brady.
Right.
Now, I don't think they would make the playoffs without Brady, even with Belichick. That's why I put Brady number one.
Could one of these guys go down for the regular season and keep – well, that's what we just talked about, so – let's see.
Yeah, I can't hear that.
was just thinking that as I was doing it. Probably should have shut my mic. I was cleaning the, what do they call these?
Windscreen.
Let's see. Mike says, hey guys, love the show. Discovered you in Orlando and still listening now here in Virginia Beach. A few weeks ago, you let Andy host and dumped Justin, also in Virginia, for saying like too often, which I greatly appreciated. However, you don't call out the other callers that will use "I mean, you know" over and over again.
We don't?
Yeah, we do.
We mock them endlessly.
One of my pet peeves is when someone often says "listen" or "like" before making their point. It doesn't make your point any more valid. If you do it in person during a dialogue and I haven't, I don't know, started looking aimlessly around, reading a book, blah, 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 okay.
Fred makes, because Fred doesn't understand it, he makes it impossible for us to possibly figure it out.
Mostly, if you're a radio broadcaster and you tell me to listen before making your point, that just drives me nuts.
The Tony Maserati does that a lot.
You should assume that I am doing is listening. When you guys figure out which of you commits this faux pas, pretty often challenge him to try not to do it anymore and count how often he does it. Or when he does do it, interrupt and say, okay, I'm listening.
Speaking of, you know,
so who
line said, two.
So who says listen a lot here? Any one of us? Is he assuming a lot of us do that?
If I do, I don't even know I'm doing it.
I vote Paul.
I think it might be Paul.
Paul?
I don't even know I'm doing it.
Listen.
But I don't think he does it that often. I don't think the other
not often
us do
enough
it.
To make it annoying.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, I never had a problem with it. Sean says, just wanted to comment on the Stephen A. Smith conversation before he picked the Patriots over the Saints in the Super Bowl earlier today, which was shocking. And Skip picked the Patriots losing to the Seahawks.
Both guys picked the Patriots
really,
in
yeah?
the Super Bowl.
I hope the Patriots can reclaim the title
Skip
this
loves
year.
The Patriots.
And I'm excited
he picks the
for
Patriots
the
every year.
Oh, well, the word is out about the decline.
Of Manning?
Yeah.
The noodle on?
Started here and it's... It's just
it started
it's
here.
It's like one
it
of those
start here.
It's one of those
I'll
Southern California fires. You can't. It's out of control. It's out of control.
We
it's
apologize.
Good to make light
of that. We apologize to anyone in Southern California who's offended at Fred's joke.
He really is me today. Just offending people.
Wow.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey, Dave. What do you got? You know.
How we doing? You guys are definitely in mid-season form today.
Okay, where are you? You sound like you're under the covers.
I am. Just laying on my bed watching the NFL Network, listening to you guys.
Your bed's not in a basement, is it?
We're on speakerphone, aren't we?
And, oh, by the way,
we are.
No? I just had to throw that out there for you guys.
You know?
Yeah.
Guys, a couple questions.
At least he knows.
See the emailer? Dave knows.
Right.
It's all in good fun.
We all have our crutches.
Right. Listen.
That's it.
Everybody says it.
Yeah. Let's pump the brakes on the criticisms here.
You guys, definitely were today. Question.
You drunk.
You know, talking about crutches. Belichick's driving me crazy this year with this, signing these players and a day later release them.
He does that every year.
Some kind of ADT problem or something?
He does that.
ADT?
He does that every year, actually.
It's a security company.
Especially the first week or so of the season. That happens quite frequently.
It just, I'm glad that is Zach Moore still on the team?
Yes.
He's number 90 now.
You guys expecting anything from him this year?
No.
Anything else than like being a situational pass rusher?
No. The high side to hit for me would be like Michael Buchanan last year, but I don't even
reps, but I don't even see that.
He's going to flash a little bit.
Yeah, you might see him once or twice because I think he's a physically intriguing prospect. But I mean, Minnesota, St. Paul. Yeah.
Is it time for guess the inactive?
Concordia?
Concordia. Not even Minnesota,
right.
St. Paul. Concordia.
Yeah, St. Paul is in Minnesota.
I've never heard of. There's a boat builder down the street from me named Concordia. That's the only time I had ever heard that word until we drafted him.
Really?
Until Concordia. We drafted him, I thought Concordia was a Canadian university.
Yeah. There might be.
There might be one.
Because there's a couple in Minnesota.
Yeah. A couple in Minneapolis.
There's one
there?
That has college hockey and they play exhibition games a lot of times.
St. Paul. Yeah, that's right.
And they got very offended because they were being misrepresented.
Right. Dave's connection sounds like one of those old-time audio recordings, with the hiss in the background. I don't know. What.
Yeah, there was something. And Dave's usually on a better line than that.
Well, he's calling us from 1950.
I think he was too far from his base with his wireless phone.
Somebody was breaking in. It was ADT.
That frequency movie.
He didn't say ADD. He said ADT.
I thought he said ADT.
ADT?
Oh, I just thought he said
ADT.
Yeah,
we have an alarm system here. At it forces us to make a lot of personnel moves.
But
if you said ADD.
Eric's right about that. I think it was 15 last year in week one. With just the active 53 man,
yeah,
not counting practice squad.
Yeah,
so this is not
par for the course.
Yep. Not out of the realm of
Chester's
normalcy.
In Portland.
Listen, this happens a lot.
Hey, Chester.
Listen, I'm trying to cut back.
I just got a text from my boy Christian. He just said the echo from Dave's phone call is very reminiscent to the crank up phone from Mama Hart's phone.
Hey,
Chester!
I don't care for that, Chester.
That was good effort there.
That's a real time caller on caller communication right there.
Yeah, mother.
Real quick, A lot of talk about Miami Heat and this, the early season Miami game. Just a quick reminder of the nation, Pats have won the last four beatings in Miami in September or October since 2003. So pretty interesting stat there. You know, for me, I'd much rather face this Miami team in their house.
Two of those were night games.
Rather than December. I feel like we always crap the bed in December in Miami. So with that said, I got a ton of confidence going into this one. I can't stress it enough. I mean, Miami just seems to always undermine us in December, but it's going to be on this Sunday. This team has a chip on their shoulder, and after this last year, the road to vindication begins this Sunday for me. I want to see a big, big statement. We got to get points on the board early. This pass rush has to shine. I asked about Easley last show because I feel like rotation on that defensive line is key, keeping them fresh, keeping them active all game. I'm looking for three sacks on this defense, and Pass Nation Miami, better bring some noise this Sunday, baby. I'll be listening, making sure you guys are representing for this team. Let's do this. 38-13 is my prediction. Defense gets the score, over and out.
All right. Thanks, Chester. Who do you think, just something Chester said kind of made me think this, who do you think in the AFC East has the best fans, other than the Patriots? Whose fans are the best, Buffalo, Miami, or the Jets?
Jets. Out of those three. I think all Jets. Three of them are pretty shaky fan bases, but I think the Jets are by far and away.
I would say Jets.
In terms of being loud or
loud, always, passionate? Always behind them. They don't give up.
Always behind them. That's a different argument.
That might be Bills. Bills
Mafia. That's probably the Bills.
Yeah. Bills Mafia represent.
Smaller but more rabid Bills.
And somehow,
plus they've had to suffer through so much.
Right. Yeah. At least the Jets have been to AFC title games.
Then Jets.
Miami's got nothing.
It's the Miami fans. They come out and they yell and then they just sheepishly go back into the shadows.
Well, they don't even go out.
Unless they win. Then they don't then count. They start.
I mean, just look at how they try to cater to their fans. I guess they know their fans as well as anyone, and they try to do the red carpet thing and the music, and because they know they're not.
Well, they cater to the minority ownership is what they were doing there, and it failed miserably.
Failed.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's only it. I think they wanted to make an entertainment experience because they knew the football experience and the fans weren't really getting it done.
It's a bad pro sports town, Miami. It doesn't do very well with pro sports.
It's kind of like L.A., It's fake people from other places with a lot of other stuff to do in a really nice weather.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's just different.
Yep.
I brought this up in a conversation yesterday. Somebody pointed this out to me. I said, you know, Miami's got a pretty good defensive front. That might be something that scares you. And then the person said, well, who doesn't have a good defensive front in the AFC East? In fact, who has the worst defensive front in the AFC East?
Probably the Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, remember last year it's
trouble is the other teams don't have anything else that matters like a coach,
last
a quarterback.
Year, doesn't it seem like every week Tom Brady was saying, well, you know, we've got another, you know, really aggressive defensive front we have to contend with.
Well, that's because you play the AFC East twice.
Yeah. Well, plus,
I mean, like, I think the Jets have a really good defensive front, but the Bills have a good defensive front. And Dolphins, we're talking about one of the strengths of the team is the defensive front, certainly the pass rushers. I just thought it was interesting. That is sort of the core of those teams is probably the defensive front.
Because of Tom Brady.
And I thought that was a big part of the reason why Miami won last year is I thought they were able to get some pressure, especially inside pressure on Brady at times in that game. And they had timely sacks. I don't think that he got sacked a lot in that game, but I thought they got timely pressure to stop drives, force field goals, things like that.
JM says, does it make sense to play Gronk Sunday if he's still listed as limited participation in practice?
Yes.
I'd feel more comfortable if he was full participation all week before taking the risk.
I wouldn't.
No. A lot of players play with limited
Tom Brady's been doing it for like a decade.
All right, we're going to take one more call, and then we have to get into the picks. Because
already?
There's no bye this week, and so we have to
locker
room.
We don't need a half.
Abby's in Miami. Hey, Abby.
Abby.
What's that?
What's going on?
What's your name?
Abby.
Avi.
What's going on, guys? Yeah, like Obi Wan Kenobi.
Avi Maria?
No. Avi.
He just put it on your level.
It's Obi Wan.
Obi Wan Kenobi.
Obi. Well, it's Obi Wan.
Obi. Yeah. Well, that's the way I.
So is it Ovi?
Say my name. No, Obi.
So it's not Obi.
Avi Nelson.
Your father.
Must have heard of Avi Nelson, right?
Avi Nelson. Yeah.
Avi.
Who's Avi Nelson?
Yeah. Hey, so what's going on, guys?
Now we got
Chewbacca.
I'm here to tell you right now. No, not Chewbacca. I'm here to tell you that fans here are horrible. You know, I don't care what people say. Like, from even before the Moss years, I remember, like, before that, going when when, like, after the third quarter down here, when, you know, when Miami gets blown out, like, all you have is basically Patriot fans, you know, and then you have, like, the Miami cheerleaders. They have to keep a smile, but they're just dancing for us.
Right.
You know? So, I mean, I think Miami probably the least, you know, regarding the FOIA.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, a lot of teams, when they get blown out, they leave. But what about, like, during the week? What's, like, is the fan base always pumped up? And then what happens when they lose on Monday and Tuesday?
So you know? They're pumped up. I'd say, like, the first five, six games. Not even. The first four games. Like, right now, Miami's winning. I think, like, I mean, if there's a spread down here only, you know, it'd be Miami, you know, 7-8.
Right.
Right now, yeah, everyone thinks Miami's going to blow away the Pats based on these new receivers, based on this new offense. You know, they got a really good defense. But right now, yeah, the Patriots don't have a chance.
Okay.
And
Tom Brady, what do they do? What is the reaction once, you know, everything goes south? What happens on Monday and Tuesday on the sports radio shows down there?
I mean, from my experience, I mean, it's not just the Finns. It goes from the Heat, the Marlins. They basically they don't really talk about themselves. You know, they don't talk about their weaknesses, their strengths. They start grilling the other team. You know,
right?
That's what they do. It's like, I mean, like the Cavaliers, man. Like, that's all they do. They just drill like Cleveland instead of looking at, you know, how to rebuild the Heat.
Right.
And so, and then they shrug their shoulders and then they start cursing. That makes them a Pats fan.
Well, keep up the good fight. Keep representing. Will we see you at the Village Pump Saturday night?
Yeah, no, I'll be there. I'm gonna try to get there a little early so I can, you know, hang out with you guys. I've never met you guys, so it'd be awesome.
All right.
I'll be there for sure.
All right.
Quick question though.
Okay.
What I want to see in this game, I mean, I think like the only way, you know, we're gonna win a definite win is the O line. You know, I want to see who's in that left guard position, and I want to see the running backs actually run the ball. You know, that's my one fear here, other than just, you know, the depth of this team. It's the running backs. You know, it's the O line. Can we, you know, successfully run the ball without, you know, LeGarrette Blount, without Logan Mankins? So that's my question. I'll take your answer off the air, guys. I'll talk to you.
All right. Thanks, Avi.
Well, the Dolphins did not have a good run defense last year. So
terrible.
Theoretically, you should be able to run the football. But since we don't really have faith in the offensive line just yet or the running back just yet, that is something Bears watching.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing in the back of my mind that causes me some concern about the Patriots offense is the offensive line being unsettled. I think if they can, you know, figure out what they want and they have a reasonably good performance, I think Ridley's going to have a good day on Sunday because this is not what I would deem a tough front to run against. 24th, Andy, want to say?
Somewhere in there.
24th against the run last year. They've taken pieces away from what they had last year. So this is not a good front. This is the linebackers are still there, Ellerby and Wheeler.
They moved them, though, right?
Yeah, they've switched spots. I don't know.
So you're worried about the O-line?
I have a concern about the O-line, yeah.
Victory for Andy. Fred's worried about the running backs.
Well, I picked something.
He gets first pick, and he still picks
Wait a minute. You could have picked anything you wanted to be concerned about?
Yeah.
Except for the offensive line.
I thought.
He could have picked anything.
Yeah, I thought O-line
he had
was
first
off the
pick.
Table.
Okay, so you had anything but the offensive line.
Right.
And but you thought running back over safety?
Yeah. I'm not that worried about safety.
But you've been telling me for 2 years how wrong I am about Stephen Ridley.
Well, I mean, right now, if he's going to come in the moment he fumbles, he's out of the game, then who do we have?
Superstar Brandon Bolden.
Okay.
Well, if you weren't worried about Stephen Ridley, why would you assume that he's going to fumble?
And if Vereen has his annual, you know, hurt wrist or, you know, hamstring, James White?
You should have brought this up in the argument you made.
This is unbelievable to me. I'm
just a little bit worried. Usually we go in like five, you know, now we have four, which is
Whoa. Wait a minute. You have five running backs.
Jimmy.
Just like you always do. Just because you don't like Devlin? Just because you
I'm counting Devlin, the pass-catching phenom.
Anyway, before we get into the picks, I told Brian Morey, Executive Director of the Hall of Patriot Plays presented by Raytheon, that I'd do him a favor and let people know that the Hall's Oyo giveaway promotion starts tomorrow and runs every weekend through October 12th. There are six different Patriot Oyos that will be given out. One each week with full price paid admission while supply of that player lasts. This week's is Vince Wilfork and will be available Friday through Sunday. And you can call 508-698-4800 with questions.
Now, what is an Oyo?
It's a little Lego-like guy. But they're all licensed, and they're huge collectibles among the collectors.
We should have Pete Shepard do that read.
So each week when you get a new one, you're getting an Oyo change.
Ah.
Wow.
Time to change the Oyo.
Wow.
Good. Wow. So that starts like tomorrow. That.
It was pretty
hall.
Good. Because I kept thinking, I was thinking Oreo for some reason. Every time he kept saying it, it's like he was saying Oreo funny. Oreo.
Oyo vey.
Is it an Oyo Oye or an Oyo? Yeah.
Oyo.
Oyo. It's called Oyo.
Yeah, but I guess Oyo. Among the collectible community, Oyos are huge. Huge.
Well, I thought they were little.
Now, is Gronk's called Oyo Soy Fiesta?
Or oh.
What does Oyo mean?
I don't
know. That's the name of the company that does it, isn't it?
Is it?
What are you laughing at, Paul?
Paul has had a really good show off air. He hasn't brought anything on air, but he's been really good off air.
He got
air.
Into that fight with Fred. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was all on the air.
All right. Let's get into the picks. Before we get into this so week's critical. Picks, Paul, why don't you remind everyone what happened last year?
I'm sorry, Fred.
Are you telling me that's not the same notebook?
It's not.
You don't go through notebooks very quickly.
Sure I do.
No.
I go through like two
a
year.
Like two a year? I go through like two a week.
Andy, you write like three things on a page, and then you just throw the notebook
you
away.
You write like a little kid. And then next page.
Why did I do
He does his Bill Belichick. Tackling.
Right.
Special teams.
Last year, I won everything, I believe. All
I
right.
I think you did. You kicked ass in the spread.
I think that's accurate.
You definitely kicked ass in the spread. You were dumb.
No, he won both.
He usually
And
does.
I don't believe it
no,
was
No, he
close.
Doesn't. He usually doesn't win. I almost just said a word. No. Don't buy into his PR.
He does not ever do well in anything.
You have it's that old saying, if you say it often enough, people believe it. He believed you.
We are not invading Ukraine.
No, we don't agree to a truce because we have nothing to do with it.
So why are you involved in the peace talks?
Right. All right, let's get to tonight's game, which, as I've already told everyone, is a great matchup. Green Bay at Seattle. Paul?
Seattle by 6.
Wow. That's by 9 then. No, that's by 3 then. Because you get 3 for being at home, right?
How many times are you going to say that? I'm going to go Seattle. They're the home team. They'll have emotion. The 12th man is even going to be more valuable than it ever is. They're always a good home team. I just think they're probably going to be feeling pretty good, and I think they'll cover. I just think they like to say a bad spot or whatever. To me, opening up in the Super Bowl champions when they're still good, they haven't had major losses, that's a tough spot.
I agree. Seattle's going to win and cover. Paul's having problems with his pen.
Well, it's not his pen, that's the problem.
That's true.
He also doesn't go through pens very quickly. He uses the same blue pen for years.
That, I think, you might have a problem with because he does write
Peabody
a lot.
Little League, it's on the pen.
No, he likes the plain blue Bic or whatever it is.
No, Papermate.
Oh, Papermate? Sorry.
Yes. Come on. Use that trash.
I'm not sure we should be talking
Eric?
About that.
Why is that?
What do you got?
I haven't picked yours? No, we both picked.
Oh, okay.
Do they still do the entertainment stuff? Like, is there still a concert and, like, crazy stuff?
Yeah, I think there is.
Who is it?
There's, like, this huge stage that they set up in front of the stadium and everything.
Do you know who it is?
I hadn't heard.
One of Freddie's nudies is going to be doing the national anthem.
Ariana Grande. How'd she look?
I don't know who.
Did she make it grande?
I don't think so. I can't believe she's 21. I can't believe that.
Some people like that.
Yeah, you're right.
Some creeps out there.
I am going to stick with the boys here. I think Seattle at home, obviously, different team at home. And I think they get off to a good start. And we won't find out about that whole repeat thing for quite a while, but I think they get off to a good start.
I think Seattle wins this game, but they do not cover. I think this is the opening of a very good season for the Green Bay Packers.
I hope you are right, because I'd like to see a good game tonight.
Yeah. So I think Seattle wins, but they don't cover the 6.
Well, 7 points is a cover.
I'd like to see a good first half.
Still could be a good game, Paul.
Would you say
I'd like to see a good first half.
I'm not sure you'll make it that long.
Why, is it 8:30, the kick?
Something like
they
that,
they did
right?
change the times a little bit. The Monday night games are now at 8:30, I think, not 8:40.
Ah.
And
we'll see.
The Thursday,
yeah, we'll see about that.
No, the NFL has
I'll
changed
be timing
it.
That.
They changed your games, too. Oh, yeah. The Thursday night game, you know, when you used to...
Well, now CBS is actually making them stick to the script.
When are those now?
All right. The next game is New Orleans. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's my job. New Orleans at Atlanta. This is Sunday at 1. New Orleans at Atlanta.
As are almost all the games this week, by the way, Sunday at 1. New Orleans, one of the rare home, road favorites this week by 3.
New Orleans, Paul Perillo thinks very overrated.
I didn't say very overrated. I just don't look at him as a Super Bowl threat.
Okay, so he says overrated a little. Drew Brees, Brandon Cooks, my early pick for Rookie of the Year. I say he comes flying out of the gates with a massive gain. Couple touchdowns, 150 yards. I don't think the Falcons are on the rebound. I think the Falcons are now a middling team at their best, even at home. So I'll take the Saints.
Final year, I predict, for Mike Smith and, sadly, probably also our guy Tom Dimitroff in Atlanta. Ooh, it's not going to be a good year in Atlanta. Saints will go in there, blow them out.
Wouldn't it be Dimitroff firing Smith?
I think they're both going to get let go.
Not if they're both fired.
Yeah, not if Arthur Blank does it.
I know, but okay.
So do we blame Scott Pioli for the downfall of the Falcons?
I agree with
the
mindset.
Does he stay, is the question.
I agree with the mindset.
Does he backdoor it?
Yeah.
I heard someone say today, I wouldn't, talking about a team going from way down to, win 10, 11, 12 games, and on EEI they were saying, would you be surprised if the Falcons won 11 or 12 games? I personally would be stunned. I don't think it's that good of a team.
No.
So I don't think they just had a bad year last year. I don't think they were very good.
They have three things.
They had a lot
of quarterback and two receivers.
And they had a lot of injuries last year, but I don't think they're that good.
They gave Paul Soliai, a nose tackle in a bad run defense, $40 million to come join their run defense. Yeah. I don't know how that makes any sense. They lost Sam Baker, so they're sort of off whatever their plan was on the offensive line. They're going to move the kid from A&M over to the left side, but they're already sort of scrambling and adjusting on the fly here, and they're not good enough to do that.
Yeah, and I'm going to stick with them as well and take the Saints.
No Hard Knocks team has ever won their season opener.
Is that true?
No. But, but that sounds good, though, doesn't it?
Well, it does.
And many Hard Knocks teams have gone on to make the playoffs that year, which is sort of runs
right
counter to what I, why would you do that? Yeah. It's such a distraction. A lot of Hard Knocks teams have had successful seasons.
I'm going to pick New Orleans.
Well, they learned in the school of Hard Knocks.
Yeah, I'm going with New Orleans in this game. Cincinnati at Baltimore, 1
the
o'clock.
Natty is underdogs because it's at Baltimore. I already told you there's very few road favorites this week. Baltimore by 2.
I'm going to take Baltimore. Big opening performance here, bounce back, and I'm really making this prediction and hoping with my heart because I made an idiotic bet with Bob Neumeier that the Panthers would have more wins than the Bengals, and then I checked the Panthers' schedule and now realize the Panthers could go on a 7-game losing streak in the middle of the season. So I need the Bengals to lose as many games as possible. Starts on the road against Baltimore.
I think Baltimore's just the better team, and they're at home, and I think coming off the Super Bowl win.
No last, Ray Rice, remember?
Right, yeah, well, yeah, but still, I think they're still a better team. And a lot of teams that win the Super Bowl have trouble the following year, but then the year after that, they kind of have a resurgence. I think the Ravens are due for that. They're going to win easily at home over Cincinnati.
Dominique?
I am going to take the Ravens as well. I disagree. I think Cincinnati is the far better team, but this
Cincinnati
is home favorite. I mean, home. Season opener. I like the. I think they're division rivals, like Fred always says. Tough to go on the road and beat your division. Pretty evenly matched. But I think Cincinnati's got the better team. I just think they lose this week.
I agree with Paul, and I know Cincinnati's been knocking on the door. They've been getting in the playoffs, but obviously that's not enough. This is the kind of game you have to win if you want to be that team. And I think you have to go on the road and beat that division rival in their building. So I think Cincinnati pulls this off because I think they're ready to be that team.
Any concern over the loss of the coordinators? I know some people think they upgraded with Hugh Jackson taking over for
I would agree with
what's
that,
his name?
Everybody
loved Zimmer.
Zimmer I think is a much bigger loss.
Yeah. On the defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of people criticize Gruden for, spreading it out and throwing the ball all over the place. Yeah. And
Gruden's one of the most overmatched head coaches in history.
You're an offensive coordinator. Your team has a very good defense. They have a sort of game-managing type quarterback who can avoid mistakes if you can protect him a little bit. You have a good running back in Bernard. Why not play to that? And they don't. They throw it all over the place. And, Dalton ends up making mistakes in critical spots.
I'm going for the upset. All right, Buffalo at Chicago, Sunday at 1.
Buffalo at Chicago, Bears by 7.
Yeah, I don't really believe in the Buffalo Bills. They were fighting throughout the summer. They've already had major injuries on defense. I don't like their quarterback. I don't like their coach. So for all these reasons, I'm going to say that they lose on the road to another team that I don't love the quarterback or the coach, but they're a far better quarterback and coach, and they have two pretty good receivers that can kick ass and take names.
They are, and I think the Bears are going to win some games this year. They might not be a great team, but I think they're going to win games. I think they're even going to win that division in a weird way. Yeah. So I'm going to take them to win at home and cover, Paul.
Yeah, I like the Bears big. This is one of my big plays. This is one of my five-star specials this week. Big play. I like the Bears big. I think the Bills are going to be absolutely wretched.
Yeah.
Wretched.
Jay Cutler's not one of my favorite quarterbacks, but I think last year, I think he finally found peace. I think he finally found his calm. And
his calm.
You know, and I think that it's going to be good, smooth sailing for Cutler here on in. I don't think he's going to be that much better than he ever has, but I don't think he's going to have those hiccups that he's had in the past. I look for Chicago to win this game easily.
Those hiccups he's had in the past?
Well, you know what that was from.
Washington at Houston.
Washington at
the Bill
Houston.
O'Brien debut, and yep. They are favored by 3. A 2-14 team is favored by 3.
Well, they're home. Right, so that's they get the 3, right,
now,
Fred?
In all fairness, I believe Washington finished 3-13. Right. So.
Yeah,
I am going to go with the home Billy O'Briens, rooting for him to get the victory. Also, was not really all that impressed with the Washington Redskins when I saw them this summer. Wasn't all that impressed with DeSean Jackson. Wasn't all that impressed with RG3.
Nope.
And Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt, like the J.J. Watt story, the day after signing his $100 million deal. He was at the stadium at 4 a.m. and some cleaning lady or security guard had to let him in. I thought maybe it was, remember we had to get let into the Super Bowl down there? And it was, Michael Bishop's cousin?
Michael Bishop's cousin.
I was wondering if the same person let J.J. Watt in at 4 a.m. But J.J. Watt dominates. Jadeveon Clowney has 2 sacks. And Billy O'Brien goes 1-0 in his NFL career.
I agree. I think he starts off strong against a pretty weak Washington team. And they win going away.
I like Houston in this game, too. I almost liked them enough to take a shot, but I just couldn't do it. Ryan Fitzpatrick's still the quarterback, so I couldn't do it. But three.
I think that what's going to keep this fairly close is the fact that Washington's going to want to run the ball a lot and that Houston has Ryan Fitzpatrick as the quarterback. But I think Houston ends up winning this game in covering. Tennessee.
You think Mallett plays it all real quick?
No.
Yeah.
Tennessee at Kansas City, Sunday at 1. Tennessee at Kansas City.
Kansas City by 4.
I am going to take the Kansas City Chiefs to win, but I am going to take those points. As Lee Corso would say, I think this is going to be closer than the experts expect.
Not so fast, my friend.
I'm not sold on the Chiefs this year. This Tennessee would be a nice early win for them. I'm just going to say they have an opening day fighter's chance.
I don't. I think Kansas City at home is a tough team. And I think they're a better team than the Titans, so I will say that they will win and cover.
I agree with Eric. I think the Chiefs will roll in this game against the most anonymous team in the league in Tennessee.
Yeah. I was
know
just
nothing
say,
about them.
Yeah, I don't know if it was you or somebody said, is there any team in the league that people know less about or care less about than the Tennessee Titans? Yeah.
I would ask one simple question.
The Raiders, maybe?
Who's their head coach?
I think people passionately care about the
Raiders. Yeah, you either hate them or... Yeah.
Wisenhunt. Right. Ken Wisenhunt.
Oh, Wisenhunt. He turned the Cardinals around. He can do it in Tennessee.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Kansas
yes,
City.
Yes, he can.
Woo!
I'm going to go. That's about
now,
A-E-N.
We are yeah. skipping
sticker.
Yes. over. Yes, we're going to skip over New England and Miami. Okay, so we'll do come
that,
back.
Paul. Skip,
Oakland skip. At New Jersey. Okay. Oakland arrived 2 months ago in New York to get ready for this game.
I don't get the joke.
They came yesterday to New York. I'm just using hyperbole to. Yeah.
I hadn't heard that,
funny.
So that's why I didn't get it.
Yeah, they arrived in New York yesterday.
New York or New Jersey?
Well, I don't know where they're staying.
Probably New Jersey.
Nobody can derail a show like Andy.
Jets by 5.5.
I am going to take the Jets at home to win and cover. Derek Carr getting his rookie start here against that defensive front and Rex Ryan. I think the Jets are going to be flying high. They will probably get tremendously overconfident.
Of course.
But I think opening day is going to be very good for them. I think their new offensive weapons will give them the ability to score some points. They'll probably have some defensive points, and I think they're going to run away with it.
I like the Jets to win, but even with the rookie quarterback starting on the other side, I'm going to take the points.
Wrong.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a close, ugly game. Jets fans are already going to be upset in week one that they won, but they didn't win well enough. So that's what I'm going with, Paul.
You know, I was all prepared to do the same thing that Eric did and one of the first times ever, Andy said something that made me change my mind.
One of the first times ever. So funny.
Yeah, the quarterback situation against that front, against Douche. Rex Ryan, I don't think that he's going to have an easy time of it. I will lay the points, although I don't think the Jets are very good. And their first, I don't know if it's eight or nine games, they could easily find themselves out of the playoffs by the time you hit Thanksgiving.
I agree. Say what you want about the Jets, but Rex Ryan knows how to get at a quarterback. I mean, he'll take chances, and you're talking about a guy who's a rookie. You got to go with the Jets here. It's an easy play. Jacksonville at...
I like when he says it, just so confident. It's an easy play.
Well, that's
easy.
How you make your
and
money.
Now, we have a whole year that we can't make fun of him.
People
about.
Aren't calling my 900 number if I'm not confident.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you have to be confident. You have to talk in definitives.
1-900 Fat Fred. It's with a PH.
1-900 Fat Head.
That's with an F.
Yes. Jacksonville at Philadelphia.
Idiot, that's too many numbers.
Sunday at 1. Jacksonville at Philadelphia.
A lot of numbers do that, though.
Yeah, I know, because you can
Fat
type
Head is fine.
Oh, it is?
F-A-T-H-E-A-D.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Idiot, you're not a spell.
Fat Fred with a P-H is too
what's,
many
what's
numbers.
This one?
I like Andy's around the NFL, you know. He's talking about his high school. Like, anyone cares that's watching this show.
And Fred was heckling.
Egomaniac.
Like, anyone watches the show.
What's the game this week?
Jacksonville at Philadelphia.
Oh, this is my
oh, you thought of it because of Jordan.
It's my gold star special. Philadelphia by 10.5.
Ooh.
Philly will certainly win the football game.
Yeah.
They are the far better team.
Yep.
Yeah, they're going to cover. I just can't see Jacksonville doing much. I know people were a little excited in the preseason. Blake Bortles, mm-hmm. Well, he's not playing. So that
yeah, if he were playing,
gone.
I might take the points.
And there's a chance with the Eagles, you know, their tempo and their playmakers. You can hit a couple big plays and a game gets out of hand in a hurry. So I think that's what will happen, and they will cover.
Yeah. Win and cover, Eagles going to be too much for Jacksonville.
Yeah, I like the Eagles here, too.
Me, too.
Plus, you got it's a unanimous. Slow back like Toby Gerhardt.
Cleveland at Pittsburgh. We're still on the Sunday at 1 games. Cleveland at Pittsburgh.
Steelers by 6.5.
I don't think the Steelers are going to be overly good this year.
I don't either.
But I don't think the Browns are going to be overly good this year. And
I don't either.
Brian Hoyer.
Take the better of the not very good teams?
I think he has become greatly overrated based on this little teeny stretch last year. I thought he struggled in the preseason, and I think he will struggle in this game against Dick LeBeau's slightly more athletic front. They've been adding some pieces there. I think Pittsburgh wins and covers.
I agree. Pittsburgh wins. The number again, Paul? I'm sorry.
6.5.
1-900.
I'll take the points. I think it'll be a close, ugly game in Pittsburgh. So I will go.
One of those AFC North
yeah.
battles.
And that does frequently happen to Pittsburgh early in the season. They tend to lay an egg at home very early, but I don't think it's going to happen in this game. Cleveland, I think, is a mess. They have no quarterback. They had two guys that could not have played worse in the preseason. That's not a good way to go into the season.
Their best playmaker is selling cars.
Selling
I'm
cars
with Eric.
For the offseason.
Did you see that, Fred?
Yeah.
Selling cars, Josh Gordon. I'm with Eric. You probably make a lot of money.
Okay.
You think so?
I mean, not, you think
not,
so?
Not as much as playing football, but for a car salesman, he'll probably do well.
He might be making a lot of money anyway just to bring attention to the dealership. I mean, he probably starts out with like one of those Tiger Woods show up at a tournament type deals.
Yeah. I'm going with Eric. I'll take the points, but Pittsburgh wins. Minnesota at St. Louis, Sunday at 1.
St. Louis by 4.
I am going to take St. Louis just based solely on that defensive front. I think they will shut down Adrian Peterson. And I think they will harass Matthew Cassel, and Robert Quinn will have 4 sacks.
Who's their quarterback, Calvin Hill?
Sean Hill.
Calvin.
Sean Hill.
Even the Rook liked that one.
Yeah, the Dallas guys like that, right?
Yeah. Andy's right. St. Louis at home, I think, is going to be, even with the backup quarterback, is going to be too much for Minnesota. So they win and cover.
Well, they both kind of have backup quarterbacks.
They do, but, you know.
Who's starting for Minnesota?
Cassel.
Is it Cassel?
I just said that.
Cassel building.
hey, the man has started for 3 NFL teams.
Yeah.
Yes, and I will take the Vikings to win this game. I am not a believer in the Rams. I don't think they're very good. I know that that was a chic pick for the playoffs in the NFC before Bradford went down.
Well, they play in that easy division that you think.
It's a hard division. It's a hard division, and I think that hurts them, no question. But I don't think the Rams are all that good.
If the Rams have any chance this year of making the playoffs, they have to win games like this.
They don't have a chance.
They will not win this game. They got rid of the one of the best players in the league in Michael Sam. So I just,
oh, my God.
All right. We move to the afternoon games, 4:25.
Only two of them.
Yes. San Francisco at Dallas. San Francisco at Dallas.
San Fran by five.
Move it along.
San Francisco by five at Dallas. Jerry can't like that, but I'm going to say San Francisco gets it done. I know San Francisco, you talk about these sort of hot picks. They are the hot pick for the team that slides because of the injuries and the losses and all this. I'm not a Kaepernick guy, but I'm also not a Cowboys guy. And since they only have one guy on the roster who has ever recorded an NFL sack, I'm going to say Kaepernick isn't under pressure and will score enough points to cover.
I'm feeling a 30-20 score. San Fran goes in and beats up the Cowboys. So
he looked into his
crystal Cowboys
ball.
Win and cover. Niners win and cover.
That Dallas defense is really struggling, and I think San Francisco, Boone back. I don't know, is he supposed to play? I haven't really read much about that. I think that was their big problem, was they couldn't keep Kaepernick on his feet in the preseason, the little that he played.
Luckily, the Cowboys don't have anybody who could get Kaepernick
off his feet. They fixed that with Boone back, and I think the Niners find a way to show everybody that the summer doesn't mean anything.
While I don't think the 49ers are going to be that great this year, they're still going to be one of the better teams in the league. They beat Dallas. All right, the second afternoon game, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Carolina at Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay by two.
In the second half of based on my bet picks, I need Carolina to win these types of games if they're going to have any chance to win me a dinner.
Newton's hurting.
I also just don't think Tampa's a very good football team. I don't really have any faith in them. Whatever McCown that is playing quarterback, I will go with the Carolina Panthers. I think they have enough on defense.
Likewise, I think they are overall a better team, so I will take them to win and cover.
Tampa wins and wins big.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Coach and the whole thing?
Yeah, I think Carolina is very overrated.
Okay.
And I think they're struggling.
But I think they might be overrated, but they're playing Tampa Bay.
Well, they're favored. I'm taking the favorite. I'm not going out on a limb. I'm taking the 2-point favorite.
Good thing.
You don't have to give me a prize.
Make sure that limb is thick.
You don't have to give me a prize. I'm taking the favorite. That's all.
But I think it's because Newton.
They're better.
No, because Newton's hurting.
We'll see.
Don't you think that's why?
We're going to end the show the way we started.
Yeah.
Paul and Fred fighting.
No, I think Tampa Bay is.
Paul could be right.
I think Tampa Bay is just as good as Carolina. And they're at home. I think they'll win the game.
Yeah. All right.
Yep. Who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to take Carolina, but I can see what you're saying. Let's see.
Doesn't mean I think Tampa's going anywhere. I don't think they're any good
Sunday
either.
Sunday night, Indianapolis at Denver.
Denver by 7.5.
Indianapolis at Denver.
Indianapolis at Denver.
I know who Fred's got to pick.
I'm already writing it in.
This is a tough one for me, and I think the offense in Denver is going to take a step back without Decker and Welker. I think the defense is not as good as people think it has been upgraded to. And I am going to say that Andrew Luck takes a first step towards the true hierarchy. I'm saying Luck goes on the road and pulls the upset.
Correct pick, Andy. The Colts will start off well and beat Denver in Mile High.
Wow.
So
okay.
Starting off, a Colts team that I think is going to be one of the best teams in the league this year.
All right. Paul?
Denver and Denver big.
Yeah.
Colts are overrated, Paul says.
No, I think the Colts are good. I think the Colts might slip into the contender category, not just happy to be in the playoff category, contender category. Yep. I think they've made some additions that should make them better.
Number two seed this year.
Yeah, I think Denver.
I'd feel better about picking an upset if Mathis were able to be playing in this game. But
well, he was lactating.
He had to have a baby.
I think Denver wins this game as well. That's no indication of how they're going to do all season. I think Denver loses five games this year, but this isn't one.
Because
of them.
Manning is on the down.
Right.
So you lay in the 7.5?
Yeah. Denver covers. You had to cross that off, didn't you? You thought I was going to pick the Colts.
I never wrote it in, but I did think you were going to take the Colts. I think you probably would
I want to. With every fiber in my body, I want to pick the Colts, but my instincts say no.
I'll even take it a step further. Had Andy and Eric taken Denver the way I thought they both would, I'm pretty sure you would have taken the Colts. You don't like jumping on the bandwagon of other guys.
I pick
picks.
What I believe.
Andy,
I don't pick.
Don't
based
deny
on what
it. You know it.
dummies pick.
You were going to say bozos, weren't you?
Dummies.
You know it, Andy, right?
I know nothing.
He doesn't like going out on the limb when he's not the only one.
We have to move. There's a doubleheader.
We got
a
lot three games in 8 minutes. Oh, yeah, well, let's hurry.
It's
8 minutes.
158.
It's 158.
Giants,
let's argue about what time it is.
Giants at Detroit, 7-10. 7-10.
Detroit by 5.5.
Giants at Detroit at 7.
Detroit by 5.5.
Yeah, I would take Detroit to win and cover. Yes. Eli continues his pick six parade, his picks. He stinks.
Bad quarterback. And the Lions aren't going to be that all great shakes either this year, but they're a better team than the Giants.
Who's the worst multi-Super Bowl winning quarterback in NFL history?
Eli Manning.
Jim Plunkett. I will take Detroit in this game.
Should have lost both of them.
Me too. Detroit roars. San Diego.
Detroit roars.
Yeah, San
Diego at Arizona. This is a 10-20 game.
Arizona by 3.
This is an interesting game, too.
Kevin?
You know, Arizona's another team that could... Arizona's another team that I think could take a step back.
You got to hurry because now we got to play a song and that might.
Oh, for crying out loud! I'll take the Chargers on the road.
I think it's pretty safe to say who the better team is this year in this game.
All right, I agree with Eric. I will take the Chargers. This would be a good solid upset on the road for them to start the year. I think the Chargers are a sleeper. Yeah. In the AFC. But
I think Arizona holds on and wins at home for their opener. All right, now we get to New England at Miami. Sunday at 1, we go back.
Patriots by 4.5.
Andy, are you going to participate or are you going to
The Patriots by 4.5. Will win, will cover,
yep.
We'll get at least one touchdown from Rob Gronkowski and at least one sack from Chandler Jones, one pick from Darrell Revis. Star power is on full display. Fins up, red carpet, Patriots roll.
I think most of those things are accurate. Patriots go in, they beat the Heat, and then the Dolphins. 24-13.
Yeah, I like the Patriots. Really relatively easy in this game. I think the score might be closer than the game was. 31-20, I think they get up early. They play the way they want to play, and the Dolphins end up making mistakes in the second half.
Yeah, 33-10, Patriots roll, 23-point win, and open the season in pretty good form. Although there will be some hiccups along the way in the game. But because Miami just can't get out of the gate, Patriots prevail. All right.
Good thing you had all that because we needed filler time to make sure.
John's here
for
the playbook. Hey, John, how did yesterday go, your first show?
Smashing, Fred.
Yeah?
Absolutely smashing.
I heard there were a lot of calls, emails
about Charlie
on the Ace Ticket Hotline.
It was very good. It was great to talk with everybody again and ready to do it one more day. Why not? We've got the football game to worry about on Sunday.
All right, and what's coming up
Thanks
on the show?
Thanks to you and Robin for the cake, by the way.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I ate that before I got home.
It all went down well, I trust.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently Fred's did.
That's all good to know. Hey, coming up on the program, Andrew Abramson from the Palm Beach Post covers the Dolphins. Also, Armando Salguero, our friend from the Miami Herald, he'll join us. And the one and only Russell Baxter.
All right. Buster Crab is back. All right. Have a good show. And, of course, at 4 o'clock is the Fantasy Football Champs. Last second, get your draft ready. I know a lot of people's drafts are tonight. You can talk to them at 4. We'll see you on Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.